Good evening. I'd like to call our meeting to order this evening for the Oro Valley Town Council regular session, July 7th, 2021 online Zoom meeting. We welcome each of you. We appreciate all those who've helped prepare for tonight's meeting. There's always a significant amount of work that goes into these council meetings. We'd like to begin with roll call. Mr. Standish.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
Yes, here.
Councilmember Bowen.
Here.
Councilmember Green.
Here.
Councilmember Jones-Ivy.
Here.
Councilmember Nicholson.
Here.
Councilmember Solomon.
Here.
And Mayor Winfield.
Here. Thank you, Mr. Standish. Seven of the seven council members are present. We'll now have the Pledge of Allegiance once the flag video is displayed. Councilmember Solomon will lead the Pledge of Allegiance this evening.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the
United States of America
and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mr. Standish will announce upcoming meetings.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. The July 12th Water Utility Commission regular session has been canceled. The Public Safety Personnel Retirement System Board regular session will be held on July 13th at 2 p.m. via Zoom. The Stormwater Utility Commission meeting will be held on July 15th at 4 p.m. via Zoom. And then the July 20th Budget and Finance Commission regular session has been canceled. And then currently, the Town Council's next regular session is scheduled for July 21st at 6 p.m. via Zoom. But please note that there is an item on the consent agenda tonight for Council to take possible action to cancel that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Standish. Council reports. Councilmember Green would like to make a report. And if there are other council members, please let me know. Councilmember Green.
Thank you, Mayor. Approximately a week ago, the Golder Fire District Fire Department held their graduation, and they had over 100 applicants. They graduated 21 individuals, and there were two really outstanding highlights to the program. One is they had videotaped these 21 people going through the process. And I tell you what, we got some really healthy, strong, bright firemen. And the second thing was the chief, Randy Carr, gave a really inspirational and uplifting speech to them, outlining the importance of their work. So I just felt so honored to be there to watch it.
Thank you, Councilmember Green. Any other council reports? Vice Mayor Barrett.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, I just wanted to report on the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting last night as they heard an item that is on our consent agenda about a pediatric dental conceptual architecture. And I wanted to let the council know, just as a report, that the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval. So since that's on the consent agenda, and there wasn't going to be discussion unless someone pulled it, I wanted to let the council know that that was the result of the Planning and Zoning meeting last night.
Thank you. Councilmember Solomon.
Thank you. Just wanted to mention and thank local realtor and business and community member Lisa Bayless for sponsoring the July 4th fireworks show, which I know I was able to view, and talking to other people, were able to see it quite well. So I wanted to thank her for that. She's also, by the way, if people don't know, has done a lot of other charitable work for the town of Oro Valley. For example, sponsoring our police dogs and their protective equipment. So thank you for that. We all enjoyed it, and hope to actually be there in person next year.
Thank you. Councilmember Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
wanted to mention that despite the challenges of COVID, businesses continue to open in Oral Valley. Yesterday, I was at the opening of the Allstate agency, courtesy of Brittany Gutman. And I just wanted to let people know that businesses are opening. I think I've been to about 10. Maintain hope for the Oral Valley.
This meeting is being recorded.
Our buildings are filling up, and it's really a great sight to see. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any additional reports? Thank you for those reports, Council. Much appreciated. And I would like to echo Councilmember Solomon's appreciation to Ms. Bayless for her support to the July 4th festivities. We certainly appreciate it. Well, now I have Town Manager Jacobs' report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of Council. I also want to thank Lisa Bayless and also our team for the outstanding job that they did for the fireworks display. It really was a very well-received display, even if we couldn't be in person this year. I also wanted to mention that we are expecting the council chambers to be open for your next meeting, which will be on September the 8th. And we're all very much looking forward to being in person. We're gradually beginning to transition our boards and commissions back to in person, particularly those at this moment who do not have to be in the council chambers. And so please pay attention to the agendas. We will be making some transitions, in which case, when that happens, we will go back to live streaming audio. We don't have the technology except in the council chambers to do dual Zoom and in-person meetings. And for the council meetings in the future, because we have to apply the same policy to all of our boards and commissions in terms of public participation, we will be opening the dual Zoom and in-person opportunity for the public to participate for our advertised public hearings only. And so we don't, like I said, we don't have the capabilities to do it in all of our facilities. More information will be coming out about how that will work and also the protocols that we will put in place in our new facilities as we get closer. We do plan to have an open house of sorts before the first council meeting. We're working on that right now. And we would welcome our community to come and see their council chambers as well and hopefully participate in future meetings in person. That's all I have this evening, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jacobs. I'd like to, in regards to the order of business tonight, I would like to propose reversing the regular agenda items 2 and 3. So moving item 3 to the second spot and item 2 to the third spot, if there are no objections. Item 3 is the Parks and Recreation bond discussion. Item 2 is the financial policies discussion. Hearing no objections, we'll make that change to the agenda. So reversing items 2 and 3. This meeting, of course, is taking place online. As Ms. Jacobs said, it will be, we hope, our last online council meeting. And but nevertheless, in order to participate tonight, one must be logged into Zoom directly by computer or telephone. And I'll remind participants how this will work this evening. Staff and members of the council, except for the individual that has the floor, will mute their microphones throughout the meeting to ensure a smooth and efficient meeting as possible. During times when the public can participate, staff will enable you to unmute your microphone at the appropriate time. If you wish to address the council on any agenda item or during the call to audience, please raise your hand. Only when I announce it's appropriate to do so. There are two ways to do this. For those participating on any platform other than by phone, place your cursor towards the bottom middle of the page and look for the raised hand icon. Once the raised hand icon has been located, click on the icon to raise your hand to request to speak. For those participating by phone, press star 9 to raise your hand. Once your hand is raised, staff will be alerted to your request to speak. At the appropriate time, I'll call on those with their hands raised to address the council. I will then announce your name and staff will unmute your access so that you can speak. If you would like to have your video enabled, please request so prior to your comments and staff will enable your video. Once you are done speaking, staff will move you back to the attendee list. You may experience a momentary disconnect while changing roles. Also, please make sure you're not also muted on your personal device. As with all town council meetings, please clearly state your name and whether or not you are an Oro Valley resident. Also, speakers are limited to no more than 3 minutes. A timer will be used as with in-person meetings, and we ask that you please respect the 3-minute rule. Currently, there are 164 individuals participating in our meeting tonight. That includes council, staff, and members of the public. We'll now go to call to audience. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak to any topic that is not on tonight's agenda. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, mayor and council are not allowed to discuss, respond to, or take legal action on matters raised during call to audience. At the conclusion of call to audience, council members may direct town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. If you wish to address the council on a matter not on the agenda, please notify us by clicking the raised hand icon on your computer or pressing *9 on your phone now. So I'd like to call on Fred to address the council. Staff, please enable Fred's microphone to speak. Has Fred's microphone been enabled, staff?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, it has.
Fred, we've enabled your microphone on our end. You may need to unmute your microphone on your end. Fred, this is your opportunity to speak. You may need to unmute on your end, on your device. Fred, I'm not sure what the technical problem is this evening, but we can't hear you tonight, and so you have my apologies, but I'm going to move forward with our meeting tonight. So we're during the call. This is the call to audience. If there's any other individuals that are participating in tonight's meeting that want to speak on a topic other than what's on the agenda, this is your opportunity to do so. I'd like to call on Mr. John McAllister to address the council. Staff, please enable Mr. McAllister's microphone. Mr. McAllister?
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yes.
I'm just commenting on the Vistoso
golf. Okay, that's on the agenda tonight, Mr. Okay. McAllister. So this is not the time to speak to that topic.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Okay, we'll try Fred one more time. Fred has gone. And if we could disable Mr. McCount, thank you. All right, I'm going to close call to audience, and we'll go to presentations. Mr. Standish, item one of presentations.
Proclamation, Child Support Awareness Month.
Okay, I'll read the proclamation. Whereas the town of Oro Valley joins the nation in recognizing August as Child Support Awareness Month and reaffirms its commitment to strengthening Arizona's families by providing child support services to improve the economic stability and well-being of children. And whereas the state of Arizona will always be committed, advocates for our children whose safety and security remains top of mind. And whereas a child who receives emotional and financial support is more likely to feel safe and secure and is better equipped with the courage to be their very best in life. And whereas the Department of Economic Security Division of Child Support Services is robustly committed to putting Arizona's children first and to humbly serve Arizonans with excellence, respect, integrity, and kindness, as well as being an overall champion for economic growth and opportunity. And whereas the Department of Economic Security Division of Child Support Services is a strong advocate for shared parenting responsibilities, because parents and children benefit when both parents are engaged with their child at every stage, regardless of marital status. And whereas Child Support Awareness Month salutes diligent parents who spend time with their child and who make regular child support payments to safeguard their children's future. Now, therefore, I, Joseph C. Winfield, Mayor of Oro Valley, do hereby proclaim August 2021 as Child Support Awareness Month. This evening, receiving this proclamation is Justine McDilda. She's the outreach coordinator for the Division of Child Support Services. And if we can enable so Justine, you may need to unmute on your end, on your device. There you go.
It was being weird. Okay, hi, thank you. Again, like Mayor Winfield said, I'm Justine McDilda. I'm one of the three community outreach coordinators for the state for DES Division of Child Support Services. And we appreciate your commitment to proclaiming August 2021 as Child Support Awareness Month. With Child Support Awareness Month, this is a nationally recognized initiative bringing an understanding and knowledge of how child support is beneficial to families. It's important to keep families connected, and one way is through financial support. When the non-custodial parent is involved in the child's life, the child is able to build a bond with additional family members. And families are essential to developing the whole child and giving them a sense of belonging. By having a stronger family unit, it assists children's overall development, allowing them to flourish. It also promotes an understanding of healthy relationships and mindset. Community involvement contributes to connections with partner organizations and families around Arizona. This proclamation shows Arizona's strong foundation in advocating for children and families. Thank you, Mayor Winfield, for your support and for the proclamation for August 2021 as Child Support Awareness Month.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening and receiving this proclamation and for doing the important work that you and your colleagues do to support children and families. Thank you. Mr. Standish, item two, the presentations.
Proclamation, Drowning Impact Awareness Month.
Thank you. So I'll read this proclamation. Whereas Arizona's future prosperity depends upon the long-term health, safety, and well-being of the nearly 2 million children and teens in our state, and whereas drowning is a top cause of injury and death for children and teens in Arizona, affecting not only the victims, but also families, emergency personnel, and our society as a whole. And whereas child drownings are nearly 100% preventable, and whereas research-proving strategies can save lives, including constant and capable supervision, restricting access to water, use of life jackets, swimming lessons for adults and children at the appropriate age, and rapid emergency response, including CPR, and whereas during the month of August, Drowning Prevention Coalition of Arizona, in collaboration with state and local governments, community organizations, and private citizens, will be engaging communities throughout Arizona in a coordinated and comprehensive response. Now, therefore, I, Joseph C. Winfield, Mayor of Oro Valley, do hereby proclaim August 2021 as Drowning Impact Awareness Month and urge all communities and citizens of Arizona to participate in efforts to reduce drowning risk, strengthen families, and protect children and teens. Ms. Jody Layton, who's a program coordinator for Pima County Natural Resources, Parks, and Recreation, has joined us this evening to receive this proclamation. Ms. Layton.
Thank you, Mayor Winfield. I'm work for Pima County, but I'm also an advisory council member for the Drowning Prevention Coalition of Arizona. So we thank you very much for the invitation tonight and for the town of Oro Valley once again supporting and recognizing August as Drowning Impact Awareness Month. The Drowning Prevention Coalition of Arizona is comprised of parents, health and safety professionals, business leaders, and concerned citizens. Our group exists to provide a forum for drowning prevention efforts through the promotion of education, legislative action, awareness, and enhanced product safety. As the summer heats up in Tucson, and of course all across Arizona, people naturally want to find ways to cool off. Unfortunately, this often includes swimming in bodies of water that are not lifeguarded, don't have adult supervision, and don't have barriers and layers of protection. So far, there have been 13 water-related incidents reported in Pima County through June 30th. Fortunately, none of the 13 have resulted in a fatality this year. However, we must remain vigilant and continue with our efforts in drowning impact and prevention messaging. So once again, the DPCA thanks the town of Oro Valley for its continued support of our cause and, of course, in helping to spread our message. So thank you guys very much.
You bet. And thank you, Ms. Layton, again for joining us and helping to increase the awareness of each of us and our community about this important topic. So thank you. We'll go next to the consent agenda. Mr. Standish. Oh.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I'd like to have item F pulled off of the consent agenda for further discussion.
So item F is pulled off. I move to approve the consent agenda items A, B, C, D, E, and G.
I'll second that, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councilmember Jones Ivy. Any discussion? Mr. Standish, can you read those items, please, before we take a vote?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Item A, minutes, June 16th, 2021. B, approval to cancel the July 21st, 2021 regular town council meeting. Item C, request for approval of conceptual architecture for a pediatric dental building located in the Mercado at Cañada Hills Commercial Plaza in proximity to the northeast intersection of La Cañada Drive and Lambert Lane. Item D, sub-item A, resolution number R21-32. Attachment 1, authorizing and approving the dedication of a public sewer easement from the town of Oro Valley to Pima County. And item D, sub-item B, resolution number R21-33, attachment 2, authorizing and approving the dedication of a private sewer easement from the town of Oro Valley to the Tranquillo at Rancho Vistoso Homeowners Association. Excuse me. Item E, resolution number R21-34, authorizing and approving the dedication of an easement for the access, maintenance, and construction of soil cement bank protection from the town of Oro Valley to Pima County. And then item G, resolution number R21-36, approving the agenda committee assignment for the period of September 1st, 2021 to November 30th, 2021.
Thank you. Roll call vote.
Vice Mayor Barrett?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowen? I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Yes.
Thank you. Councilmember Green?
Yes.
Councilmember Jones Ivy?
Yes.
Councilmember Nicholson?
Yes.
Councilmember Solomon?
Yes.
And Mayor Winfield?
Yes. The motion passes 7-0. Councilmember Jones Ivy?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. After reading this resolution, I had some concerns after noting that this seemed like it was going to be an expansion. And so I was concerned about the financial impact of it and what it would be since we are getting ready tonight to give final approval to our FY21-22 budget. And my other concern was because it involves so many other jurisdictions, how this would ultimately impact us if we had multiple incidents going on at one time requiring this team to respond. And Is Chief Riley here tonight?
I am.
Great.
You can hear me?
I can hear you.
Great. So Mr. Mayor and Council, thank you for allowing me to answer Councilmember Joyce Jones-Ivey's questions. And they're very important questions. And she just asked me to take the opportunity to explain to our community and to you all what this IGA is asking for. So as many of you know, over the last well over 15 years, the Oro Valley Police Department has participated in the Pima County Regional Response Teams, both our tactical teams, our SWAT teams, our bomb squads teams, and then our mobile field force team. This actually doesn't change any of that. It just is a paper clarification in organizing the regional IGA concept into one basically IGA. So there's not multiple IGAs out there on our regional teams. But in addition, it is adding one additional team to it, which is the Pima Regional Critical Incident Team. As you know, our profession has been under immense scrutiny over the last year and a half. And one of the proposals coming down, not only from the state legislature, but also the federal government, will be requirements for police, municipalities, and sheriff's departments to have an outside agency investigate if an officer becomes involved in a shooting or any type of critical incident, such as an in-custody death. So this concept is that we will have regional criminal investigators together as a team. And I like to call it like a force multiplier, where we will be able to respond to different type of incidents in Pima County and assist with those investigations. And they too will then assist in ours to have that full transparency that we will continue to go for. Our goal is to provide to our community. There is no financial increase or impact currently on the police department. We have realigned our staffing to assist with this and bolster our criminal investigations unit. And we've already begun the process of a regional investigations training that's occurring. And we're continuing to do that and get the protocol in place. So this just combines all of the teams into one area. And then finally, you will also note that the Tucson City is also on the signature page. The Tucson Police Department has its own SWAT team and bomb squad, and also mobile field force. So they only want to opt in to the critical incident team. So that's what the wording looks like. And you will see that that allows them to only opt into that one section of the regional concept. So I hope that clears up any questions that might have come up. And certainly I'm willing to take any questions that other council members might have.
I did have one additional concern, and that is if we have a multiple incident situation and they're in different jurisdictions, how would that be handled?
Sure. Mr. Mayor and Councilmember Joyce Jones-Ivey, the concept of having multiple incidents occur in Pima County has already been in place and has occurred on many occasions, unfortunately. Okay. And we have the resources with our regional teams. And so this would be no different, that we are able to have the allocated resources as a county as a whole. So mm-hmm. that if we have an incident in Oro Valley and one in Marana, we're able to respond to both of them and that has occurred in the past. And
okay.
This critical incident team will also have that same available resources as well.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Chief Riley.
Councilmember Green.
Kara, if I understand you correctly, the funds for these neutral investigators are already adequately in the budget. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Mayor and Councilmember Green, that is correct. We have been able to reallocate the staffing and be able to provide those resources. And certainly if there's any concerns for the future, I will let you know.
Okay, thank you very much.
And just for clarification, the council has already approved the FY21-22 budget. Any other questions for Chief Riley? Okay. Hearing none and seeing none, I'd make a motion to approve consent agenda item F. Oh. Councilmember Bowen, did you have a question?
Yes, I apologize, Mr. Mayor. While we have Chief Riley with us, I wanted to ask about, you know, there was an aspect of this, and I wanted to find out if it was new or, in your view, it was standard, and they were the termination clauses. You know, that was interesting for me to have a chance to read this IGA and find out what happens when, you know, other agencies may decide this isn't in their best interest. Are these termination, you know, A through E, is that basically what you've seen before? Is there anything new in here that we would be concerned about?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Bowen, they are standard practice, and certainly we reviewed all of these with our legal department before we presented it to you. So it is just the common practice in the wording that occurs. But the Pima County regional team has been in existence for many, many years. And so, but that is just a kind of a standard practice with this.
Thank you. That's my question, Mr. Mayor.
Any additional questions? I move to approve consent agenda item F.
Second.
Seconded by Vice Mayor Barrett. Any discussion? Mr. Standish, roll call vote, please.
Vice Mayor Barrett?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowen?
Yes.
Councilmember Green?
Yes.
Councilmember Jones-Ivy?
Yes.
Councilmember Nicholson?
Yes.
Councilmember Solomon?
Yes.
And Mayor Winfield?
Yes. The motion passes 7-0. We'll go to regular agenda item 1.
Discussion of the current status regarding the efforts to preserve the former Vistoso Golf Course subject to existing confidentiality requirements.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I would like at some point if the council would go to executive session on this matter so I can advise as to the limitations on what our conversation may be. If you want to take public comment first or after executive so that council can hear the public comment, or if you want to wait till after executive session, that would be at your discretion, but I would like to go to executive session.
Thank you, Mr. Rothschild. Councilmember Solomon and Councilmember Green have requested this agenda item. I would like to open it to public comment before having a motion to go into executive session. And so for those that want to speak to this particular agenda item, this is your opportunity to do so. And so I would invite you to go, if you're on a computer or similar device, go to the bottom center of your screen, click on the raised hand. If you're calling in tonight, *9. I'd like to call on Ms. Rosa Daly to address council. Staff, please enable Ms. Daly's microphone to speak.
This is Rosa Daly. I'm an Oro Valley resident. Good evening, Mayor, Vice Mayor, Council, staff, Mr. Rothschild. When I saw this agenda item, I was a little concerned because this community has been through a lot. And we are very close right now to understanding the resolution of Vistoso. And you know, I just don't want any distractions from what we're trying to accomplish here. Probably there isn't another citizen that knows more about this sordid tale than me. It's not a distinction of pride. It probably is what's given me most of my headaches for the last 3 years. But I want to point out one thing. Mayor Winfield and Vice Mayor Barrett, you have shown impeccable leadership on this issue. I did not know you 15 months ago. I have gotten to know both of you. You are professional. You are ethical. And everyone should know that where we are today is very much because of your leadership. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I also want to acknowledge Jonathan Rothschild. Thank you for living up to your reputation. That's all I have to say. adjectives for Oro Valley that begin with an F, notwithstanding. Because you have really, really given so many people comfort that you know what you're doing, you know who you work for, and I just have to say thank you. And to every member of council, because this council and the prior council always unanimously supported Vistoso and the motions of Vice Mayor Barrett and Mayor Winfield that have brought this issue to where it is at the moment. So I just hope we're going to stay focused here. We've got an appraisal coming in. You know, it's been a long haul, and it's time to resolve this issue for citizens who have their checkbooks out and who have always wanted to carry the burden of this situation as best they could with the help of a very capable council. So I'm on the East Coast and a little tired. That's all I have to say. But, you know, I just thank you from the bottom of my heart. It's good. It feels good to be a citizen of Oro Valley with you guys on board helping us get this thing resolved. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
I'd like to call on Mr. Tom Stegman to address the council. Staff, please enable Mr. Stegman's microphone.
Hi, this is Tom Stegman. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm Tom Stegman. I'm a resident of Oro Valley and have been for about 6 years now. Six and a half years. I'm sorry. When we moved here to Oro Valley, we're from Kansas, and I was a bit apprehensive because of the situations that were going on at the time and the division of the town. And I just, without saying everything again, want to echo Rosa's comments that we really appreciate what you guys, the council, Jonathan, you've been doing to really try to bring some resolution to this and bring the town together. Because this is very important. It's important to us. It's important to everyone, I think, all the residents of town. And with us this close to resolution, let's just let it carry through and complete, because it's this is the closest we've been, and it's time. It's really time. And as Rosa said, I think we're both very tired and ready for this to come to completion, and we're ready to make sure that it happens. Again, thank you all. Appreciate your time and what you're doing for the town.
Thank you. I'd like to call on Mr. Roy Hoff to address the council. Staff, please enable Mr. Hoff's microphone. Mr. Hoff, your microphone's been enabled.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, well, my name is Roy Hoff. I'm a 20-year resident of the Fairfield community within Rancho Vistoso. I want to thank the council and the town staff for their undying support in this topic. Rompspin has dragged this process out over 3 years, and I don't want anyone to be fooled by the small number of neighborhood participants in many of these council meetings. As you know, these can be long, drawn-out meetings. I don't know how you guys do it, but you do a great job. But don't be fooled by the smaller number that you're seeing right now, because they have tremendous faith now in the council putting this process together and getting the town manager and town attorney and the council to get Rompspin to accept a fair market offer. Should that not happen for some reason, and we certainly hope that's not the case, you can count on Preserve Vistoso and its over 1,800 members to help the town of Oro Valley continue to find ways to protect this beautiful recreational land. So thank you for your help.
Thank you. I'd like to call on 780-4554 to address the council. Staff, please enable. Your microphone's been enabled, 780-4554.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Good evening. My name is Teresa Morrow, and I'm a 19-year resident of Oro Valley. My comments are regarding the abandoned former Vistoso golf course and the ongoing prolonged three-year nightmare for the community. I want to thank Mayor Winfield, Vice Mayor Barrett, and Jonathan Rothschild for their diligent and ongoing hard work to bring this issue to closure. Without this effort, the community would not be at the final required steps to ensure a conservation easement in perpetuity for the 202 acres. More specifically, the appraisal engaged by Romspen is due in early August, and the negotiations must subsequently be finalized. If Romspen fails to agree to and accept the fair market value for the property, the town of Oro Valley must condemn the 202 acres immediately to ensure a conservation easement in perpetuity through the Conservation Fund. The Conservation Fund is accredited by the Land Trust Accreditation Commission, which guarantees and protects the land forever. The Rancho Vistosa community is not buying into a rewritten narrative or history by respective council members regarding the facts related to this three-year nightmare. There have been ongoing backroom dealings to subvert this initiative, hold the residents hostage, and develop the property. It is time for the council to make the right decision. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
I'd like to call on Gail Mateer to address the council. Staff, please enable Ms. Mateer's microphone. Ms. Mateer, your microphone's been enabled.
Thank you, Mayor Winfield. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. So on behalf of the now over 1,800 members of Preserve Vistosa, I'd like to thank you, the Vice Mayor Barrett, Ms. Jacobs, and Mr. Rothschild in particular for the extremely hard work that you've done over the last 6 to 8 months. I'll keep my comments brief because you've heard from me many times. But we are, you know, now sitting 3 years later. It's unbelievable that this has been going on for 3 years. And we are just anxious to bring this to conclusion. You, as Ms. Rosa Daly said, you have really built our confidence over these last months that you are pushing to get this deal done. We remain cautiously optimistic that it'll happen soon. And we really appreciate all your efforts. Let's not get sidetracked. Let's stay focused. Let's stay partnered with TCF. And let's just get it done. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to call on Mr. Richard Beam to address the council. Staff, please enable Mr. Beam's microphone. Mr. Beam, your microphone's been enabled.
Mayor Winfield, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. My name is Richard Beam, and I'm an Oro Valley resident. Good evening to everyone on the call. And I'm speaking regarding the defunct Vistosa Golf Course as well. I encourage the council to move beyond discussions to bring this sorry, protracted agenda item to a conclusion. The time to act is now. Mayor Winfield, Vice Mayor Barrett, and City Attorney Rothschild have forged an excellent partnership with the Conservation Fund's Mike Ford to get us in a position to now seal the deal. The way forward is very clear. Present the updated appraisal for fair market value purchase to Romspen ASAP. Include a short, reasonable deadline for their response. If the offer is not accepted, then the town should immediately file for condemnation and take control of the land for the community's benefit. It really is that simple. I also want to remind Councilman Solomon and Bowen that they attached Preserve Vistosa placards to their campaign signs last election, all around the Highlands of Vistosa area. So now would be the time for each of them to vote in favor of the current plan in its entirety to keep their campaign promises. Lastly, it is important to act now to give residents time to consult their financial planners and review the many options they may be looking at to meet their pledges to the Conservation Fund this year. It's now's the time that we're starting the tax plan for the end of our year taxes and so forth. So, you know, if you're looking at a qualified charity to accept a portion of your RMD, for instance, now's the time you want to consult your people, financial planners, about that sort of thing. So we can't wait till the end of the year. We need to be doing this now. So that's just another reason to move forward to a conclusion now. So the plan is clear. The time to act is now. Please, 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 no new sidebars to muddy this opportunity. to successfully create a new conservation easement out of the now blighted Vistoso Golf Course. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. I'd like to call on Mr. Rich Molnar to address the council. Staff, please enable Mr. Molnar's microphone. Mr. Molnar, your microphone's been enabled.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Rich Molnar. I'm a 14-year Oro Valley resident. First, I'm probably going to echo a lot of people's comments, but I really would like to echo Rosa Daly's comments. Obviously, we've all been involved with the former Vistoso Golf Course for 3 years. We're in the home stretch now, and this really is due to the actions of the current town council and Mr. Rothschild. Also, let's not forget Mike Ford of the Conservation Fund. What a patient guy he's turned out to be. Thank you all very much for your involvement. Right now, we're waiting for an appraisal on the property, as was mentioned before, that was finally ordered after many requests by residents asking that one be ordered and is expected to be delivered in August. Again, we're in the home stretch on this issue. All discussions to date have been in executive session due to confidentiality requirements. So I'm just wondering, how can there now be public discussions on this topic? Who would be willing to give away their game plan in the middle of these negotiations? So I must ask now, after a year of ongoing negotiations by all parties behind closed doors, why was there a motion by Councilmember Solomon to have Vistoso be put on tonight's agenda? It seems to me that anything we need to hear or can be made public can be asked of Mike Ford directly by phone or by email. Many negotiating points can't be publicly discussed until a deal is done and or the time the town finally decides to condemn the property. I'll leave it at that. I think there's enough said for now. Town Council, please let's get this Vistoso deal done for both the residents and the town of Oro Valley. Thanks for listening. Have a good evening.
I'd like to call on Nancy Olson to address the council. Staff, please enable Ms. Olson's microphone. Ms. Olson, your microphone's been enabled.
Yes, I'm Nancy Olson. I'm an Oro Valley resident and homeowner in Oro Valley for the last 16 years. We really appreciate the efforts that the mayor, town council, Ms. Jacobs, and attorney Rothschild on their ongoing efforts to assist the Conservation Fund and Mike Ford in purchasing the 200 acres of the former Vistoso Golf Course property to keep it as a nature preserve and community trail in perpetuity. This will really enhance the parkland, both in Oro Valley total and especially north of Tangerine. It's been a long haul for all of us in the 17 neighborhoods adjoining the former golf course and the 13 neighborhoods that are within a 10-minute walk. We sincerely hope Romsman will cooperate and accept the Conservation Fund's full market value offer this time. Preserve Vistoso is standing by, willing and able to continue in fundraising to help pay the Conservation Fund's revolving fund back. We understand that after these comments, you will be going into executive session and we'll discuss things you can't share with us. But hopefully, after you come out of executive session, you will be able to share something with the residents of Oro Valley. And again, keep up the great work. We hope to get this resolved soon. This is the fastest way to do it if Romsman will accept it. Thank you for your time and all your efforts you've put forth.
Thank you. I'd like to call on Mr. John McAllister to address the council. Staff, please enable Mr. McAllister's microphone. Mr. McAllister, your microphone's been enabled.
Thank you very much. I just moved to Oro Valley about 5 months ago from Columbus, Ohio. I can empathize with you all. I served on a major suburb of Columbus, Ohio on city council for 10 years. I've sat in your seats. I know what you're going through. But I must say, I'm very impressed with the comments from the citizens here. And if this council is as good as everybody says it is, I'm all for this project. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McAllister. I'd like to call on Mark Enzer to address the council. Staff, please enable Mr. Enzer's microphone. Mr. Enzer, your microphone's been enabled.
Hi there. I'm Mark Enzer. I'm a resident of Oro Valley, and I live on hole 10 of the former Vistoso Golf Course. First and foremost, I'd like to thank everyone involved in this project so far. Your work is critical to a large amount of the community, and we sincerely appreciate your efforts. Our community is absolutely ready to step in and help take control of the property. We've been dealing with this for years, and we want nothing more than closure to this chapter of our lives, and we greatly look forward to what can be next. Please finish what the town has started and complete the purchase of the course from Romspan. If Romspan refuses to accept fair market value based on the incoming appraisal, please immediately launch into condemnation. The community is ready to back with our votes and dollars to accomplish turning this property into a nature preserve. Let's turn this property into a fantastic asset for the town. And a reminder, the work you are doing will not go unnoticed come election time. Thank you.
I'd like to call on Jennifer to address the council. Staff, if we could enable Jennifer's microphone. Jennifer, your microphone's been enabled.
Thank you, Mayor Winfield. This is Jennifer Seaman, and I am a resident of Oro Valley. And I don't want to take up too much of your time because I know you guys have a busy agenda, but too want to say, Mayor Winfield, Vice Mayor Barrett, Jonathan Rothschild, yes, you guys have been key players in moving this forward. But I do want to make sure we recognize the full council and the fact that all of these votes have been moved forward unanimously. And without that support, there might be a question out there whether or not this is going to come to fruition. And it will, because we know we have the support of the full council. And I thank you for that.
Thank you. I'd like to call on Marsha Thrall to address the council. Staff, if we could enable Ms. Thrall's microphone.
Hi there. I just want to tell you I love the format. I was able to cook a hamburger and have a beer and listen to my neighbors and you, and I get to see you. I probably wouldn't walk down there. 20 years, a registered voter, active in my community. And I want to tell you, what you are participating is what they write books about. It is a community coming together with a government to build and create a lasting park that will be here like Central Park. The property will grow in value. It will be an asset for years to come. So all I have is accolades for you and for the preserve and for the conservation fund. So keep it up. Take the time you need. You have me right here cooking my hamburgers, drinking my beer, and enjoying watching you. Thank you and good night.
Thank you. Okay, I see no more hands raised, so I'm going to close public comment. I move to go into executive session with the town manager, assistant town manager, town attorney, and the town clerk.
I'll second that, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councilmember Jones Ivey. Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, or hearing no discussion, let's take a vote. Mr. Standish.
Vice Mayor Barrett?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowen?
Yes.
Councilmember Green?
Yes.
Councilmember Jones Ivey?
Yes.
Councilmember Nicholson?
Yes.
Councilmember Solomon?
Yes.
And Mayor Winfield?
Yes. The motion to go into executive session passes 7-0. Just as a reminder to council, you'll need to exit out of this public meeting and go into the executive session Zoom link. And to those that are participating in the audience, we'll be absent here for an unknown period of time, but we will return back to our regular session. Thank you for your patience. I'd like to resume our regular session. As mentioned at the outset, Councilmember Solomon and Councilmember Green requested this agenda item. I'd like to give some time to Councilmember Solomon to make a statement, and then that will be followed by our town attorney, Mr. Rothschild, who will make a statement. Councilmember Solomon.
Actually, Mr. Mayor, I'd rather let our town attorney, Jonathan Rothschild, make the statement and then follow up with a few procedural comments or process comments.
Councilmember or Mr. Rothschild.
I'll go ahead. So first of all, I want to thank everybody for participating and taking civic involvement. It's always very important. Council and I are both limited in what we can disclose by the topic. is subject to contract negotiations, confidentiality agreements, and a potential for litigation. Most of what I report, I assume most of the people in the audience know, but I will update you in kind of one full update. So during the past several months, the town, the Conservation Fund, and Robson have been involved in strenuous negotiations for the sale and purchase of the Vistoso Golf Course so that it can be preserved as open space. All parties have negotiated in good faith. During these negotiations, Robson has provided a combined total sales price for the Vistoso Golf Course and their adjoining buildable property. A buyer has been found for the adjoining property. The parties' negotiations are continuing, and progress is being made toward resolution. These negotiations have also resulted in agreement between the Conservation Fund and Robson for the sale of the Vistoso Golf Course. Robson has agreed to a specific sales price and has acknowledged that the Conservation Fund is limited to paying no more than the appraised amount. We are now, as people referenced, waiting for that new appraisal. There was an initial delay in getting the retainer agreement signed by the new appraiser, and that was nobody's fault, but the appraiser has now been to the property, now has most of the information she needs to complete the appraisal. The appraiser is currently on vacation, but we do expect to receive a new appraisal by early August. Once we have that appraisal, council will be in a position to make decisions. The Conservation Fund has agreed to pay the appraisal price for the acquisition of the approximate 202 acres of property as a dedicated conservation area. In the event the appraisal price is less than Robson's agreed upon price, the town and the council unanimously has agreed to continue further negotiation and attempt resolution of outstanding disputes with Robson in an effort to complete the purchase of the property. If no agreement can be reached, the town council has and will continue to review all legal options and the benefits and risks associated with those options. And again, we cannot go into any of the detail, but certainly as to the process, that's where we at. I think most people are pretty familiar with it, but that is the full picture. That's my statement.
Thank you, Mr. Rothschild. Council Member Solomon.
Yes, thank you. You know, as anyone that has listened to a council meeting in the past 9 months, they've known that there's been a great deal of frustration on the parts of the Vistosa residents. Many have spoken, we've heard hundreds and hundreds of comments about their concern about the lack of transparency and public discussion regarding this item. They've noticed many times that the agenda called for an executive session regarding the preservation of the Vistoso Golf Course. During those executive sessions,
Councilman Solomon, let's not.
Executive sessions were held because there were sensitive confidential items that could impact the negotiations. So therefore they were closed to the public. But you would also notice that after every one of those meetings, executive sessions, there was an item, and somebody who was very observant who spoke, a public item where it said council direction as provided in executive session, and there was a vote, and it was a unanimous vote by the whole council. During the process, we had our former attorney and then our current attorney, along with our town manager, negotiating in confidentiality with Robson and with the Conservation Fund to reach the point we're at now. Now, I want to stress, all that was done in a confidential setting. They were the only two people having any type of conversations with Robson and Tom Ford and the Conservation Fund. No other person, no other council member
was authorized to have any conversation with any of those parties. If they did, it would greatly jeopardize this final outcome and could be a violation of open meeting laws and executive sessions. Why do we now have a public discussion of this item, which, as I said, typically we had hundreds of complaints that we never did? It was in the hope of conveying once again that we are been actively involved in this process, in the negotiations, through our executive session discussions and our negotiating team, and that we are very close. And there's reasons why, which are all confidential in appraisal. You know, we could not discuss the appraisal, we cannot discuss the terms, but Jonathan's given a high-level summary of the current situation. Actually, many times Mary Jacobs, as the town manager, has presented this information. We wanted to get it out to the public and to the Vostosa residents who are so concerned about their property and their future, to let them know the whole big picture and where we currently are, and that this council, once again, as that one person had noted, has consistently been 100% in favor in the public votes to continue with this process. So I'm hoping that will reassure a lot of people. And I do want to thank Gary Cohen and now, of course, Jonathan and Mary Jacobs for their negotiating skills that they've done in complete confidence and gaining the trust of both Robson and the Conservation Fund and leading them into a agreement so that we can finally get this resolved. And yes, we're waiting on the appraisal, but this doesn't live or die on the appraisal. As Jonathan mentioned, we have plans in place and we will continue. And if an appraisal can come in higher than what's needed or lower, but we're prepared. Okay.
That's probably
all right. Well, once again, thank you, Jonathan and Mary. And we hope this helps alleviate concerns. And I just want to mention, I know that it was the mayor had said myself, and then that was seconded by Harry Green, but Joyce actually made a third instead of a second on this, because she felt strongly that we needed to do some type of public comment. So I just thought that was really nice of her and wanted to mention it. Thank you.
Thank you. We want to thank our residents, those who participated, and we realize that you represent others who did not participate tonight. We appreciate Mr. Rothschild, Ms. Jacobs, and for their continued efforts in behalf of our town in regards to this topic. There will be no action taken on this item this evening. Mr. Standish, item 3 of the regular agenda, please.
Discussion and possible action setting priorities for specific projects to be included within the Parks and Recreation Bond.
Thank you. So this evening we'll have a staff report by Assistant Town Manager Chris Cornelison. Following Mr. Cornelison's presentation, we'll take public comment for this agenda item. And so that will follow the presentation. Mr. Cornelison.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I'll, if they can pull up presentation real quick. So the current agenda item is for tonight is really a follow-up to Town Council's action from the May 5th, 2021 Council meeting, where Council directed staff to, and I'll read the motion just as a reminder, a little refresher. So include for staff to include bond financing for capital projects utilizing the half-cent sales tax that exceeds the amount needed to operate the Kenyatta, Conquistador, and Push Ridge golf courses, community center, and tennis courts per prior town council direction in the upcoming budget according to the following criteria. At least 50% be allocated towards Narana Park. The remainder shall be allocated towards exterior community center golf course improvements, steam pump ranch improvements, and allocations toward amphitheater school district partnership, multi-use pass, and or other high priority needs. And next slide, please. So during that council meeting, an example of project slide seen here was for $21 million was presented by Vice Mayor Barrett as a mere example of potential projects that could serve as a starting point for tonight's discussion, in which, as you can see, included the following amenities. So broken down from Narana Park, so necessary earthwork, two oversized multi-use sports fields, splash pad, basketball pickleball courts, restrooms, paved parking, and the necessary entry road, as well as other to include various things such as paths, landscapes, etc. Also was community center exterior improvements, as reflected in the motion I just read. So golf course irrigation, resurfaced reconfigured parking, tennis court replacement. So, and then for steam pump ranch, there was a reference, and it could be various things, but I believe it was a reference. So farmers market improvements, historic core, things of that nature. Amphitheater partnerships, Little League fields, and other amenities. And last but certainly not least, multi-use fields. So I do want to state as a reminder from those comments that evening, which were pretty well articulated, that design and detailed costing of projects still needs to be determined and included as part of the final costs, which is one of the reasons that for selecting the $21 million allocated towards direct projects rather than the full $25 million potential to allow for some flexibility for those other soft costs. Should council want to include projects different than what is on this example list, the list of projects reviewed in the Parks Master Plan process has also been attached as Attachment 2, which is the Master Plan Cost Opinion. And just as a brief update, currently town staff is actively recruiting for a project manager position, and we are also in the process of having a topographic survey at Narana Park to be conducted essentially in the next couple of months. And we are, of course, also benchmarking and developing a request for qualifications for design services. And that's why tonight's item is all the more important to understand council's priorities for specific projects, so that way we can include those to be designed. So again, tonight staff is just seeking confirmation from town council for specific projects to be included as part of the bond. That was a motion and action already taken by council. And then town staff can move forward with the design and bidding processes. And we are excited to move forward and look forward to your direction. So thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. So those in the public, there's 87 participants. That includes council staff and members of the public. If you would like to speak to this particular agenda item, setting priorities for specific projects for the Parks and Recreation Bond, this is your opportunity to speak to this particular item. So you'd go to the center, bottom center of your screen, click on the raised hand icon, or if you're calling in by phone, you would press star 9. I'd like to call on Mr. Duncan Caldwell to address the council. Staff, please enable Mr. Caldwell's microphone to speak. Hey, Mr. Caldwell, your microphone's been enabled.
All right, good evening, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Well, it's a long time hanging on, but here we go. So I've spoke to town council a few times.
If you could please state your name and whether you're a resident of Oro Valley.
Sure. Yeah, I was getting to that. So my name is Duncan Caldwell, Oro Valley resident, about 5.5 or 6.5 years now. Moved away, came back, moved to Oro Valley. So I'm the vice president with a nonprofit organization called Tucson Off-Road Cyclists and Activists. We're a nonprofit mountain bike advocacy group. Been working with the Parks Department and met with several council members over the years to advocate for bicycle-related facilities, as I like to call it, in around Oro Valley. Tucson doesn't have any really. There's great areas. They've been in the master plans in Oro Valley going back 20 years. Seems like kind of now's the time to do it. Like I said, it's been talking to parks for going on about 5 years now. So now obviously my priority for Oro Valley is to make this a number one priority. Other cities in the state have made it their number one priority. Sedona has a great bike park. Flagstaff has a beautiful bike park. Phoenix has 4, going on 5 or 6 that are all fully built out. People travel to these destinations to either escape the heat or if you're in Flag of Sedona to get out of the snow. I've made the trip to Flag 4 times in the last year specifically to ride their bike parks. Great thing about them is they include diversity across the ages. I've seen people out there on a 2-year-old out there with a 40, 50, 60-year-old all enjoying the same amenities. It's not necessarily about boosting the big jumps and, you know, the Red Bull lifestyle or Mountain Dew picture type. It's just getting people out using equipment they probably already have and being able to go out and enjoy and recreate in a way that's not necessarily flat fields or playgrounds or any of that kind of stuff. It's things that I enjoy. I'm a dad of a 6 and an 8-year-old. We utilize all the parks in Oro Valley and outside Oro Valley. And it's a shame that we have to travel to go do bicycle related infrastructure. And it's not necessarily bicycle related. If they're built right, scooters, skateboards, anything that rolls can utilize these features. So I don't think you'll find one infrastructure project for a parks department that will encompass a broader demographic and user group than a bike park. So I'd really, really, really love to see Oro Valley take the lead in Southern Arizona because the city of Tucson isn't doing it and Pima County isn't doing it. But other areas in the state are. So Oro Valley could be the one. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to call on Mr. Scott A. Botano to address the council. Staff, if we could please enable Mr. Botano's microphone. Mr. Botano, your microphone's been enabled.
Okay. My name is Scott Botano. I am an Oro Valley adjacent resident. I've been here for 20 years and I live right on the border of the town of Oro Valley. I've been to about 5 or 6 of these council meetings. This is the first time I've had a chance to speak, and I appreciate the opportunity. I do have 2 kids that graduated from Canyon Del Oro High School. I go in and out of Oro Valley all the time, and so I feel as I'm part of the community. I, too, like Mr. Caldwell, am here to support a bike park, an all-skills bike park project to be included in the Park and Recreation Bond Plan. And I'm also here to break down some potential stereotypes associated with bike parks. I'm 59 years old. I'm a professor at the university. 2 weekends ago, I was at the Stafford Lake Community Bike Park in Novato, California, on a dirt jump bike. I spent the better part of my morning riding with people that range from 5 to 50 years of age, well, excluding me because I'm closer to 60. Last weekend, I spent an hour at a mini pump track in my backyard with my 4-year-old grandson on his Strider bike. A bike park is not, as Mr. Caldwell said, that Mountain Dew, Red Bull lifestyle. It's really a community opportunity for Oro Valley to provide outdoor recreation to its residents and for the surrounding area. It provides a destination for people to come into Oro Valley and enjoy Oro Valley as well as for the residents to have a place to go. I just want to encourage this opportunity to have Oro Valley go ahead and build that nice bike park that is missing in the Southern Arizona area. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. I'd like to call on 260-452-27682 to address the council. Staff, if we could enable 260-452-7682's microphone. Have we enabled their microphone?
Yes, we have, Mr. Mayor.
You need to enable your microphone, 260-452-7682, on your device. Okay, we can hear you. If you could state your name.
Hello?
State your name and whether you're a resident of Oro Valley.
Hi, how's it going, Mr. Mayor and Council? My name is Chris Wolf. I'm currently an unoccupied resident of Oro Valley. I live in unoccupied Tucson. I frequent Oro Valley. I live no less than 5 minutes away from Oro Valley. Like the gentleman before me, I'm speaking for and advocating for the mountain bike park in Oro Valley. I've been mountain biking for about 4 years now. It's super exciting that this is in the discussion right now. Obviously, if a bike park was built in Oro Valley, I don't see why people would not visit it. I think a lot of people would visit it. Myself, I've traveled up to Flagstaff, Sedona quite a bit, also to Utah as well, quite a bit as well, to visit their bike parks. Mountain bike parks are great. It helps everyone from young to old with any skill levels to use and progress those skills as riders. Like I said before, I visited multiple bike parks in the past. And they're an absolute joy. They help, everyone's skill level to improve safely. And also, the mental health benefits as well that come along with mountain biking. And lastly, I think the economic impact of building a good bike park is astronomical. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the town of Bentonville, Arkansas. 10 to 15 years ago, nobody knew about that town. And over the last decade or so, they've really invested a lot in the mountain biking, the parks and trails in general. And every year they bring in millions of dollars of tourism, of economic relief, whether that be from events and so forth. So I appreciate the time and thank you for your time.
Thank you. I'd like to call on Mr. Gary Goodwin to address the council. Staff, if we could enable Mr. Goodwin's microphone.
Hi, good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good evening, Mayor. Thank you, and thank you, council members. My name is Gary Goodwin. I've been an Oro Valley resident for 17 years now. I actually live pretty close to the park and ride over there quite often, so I'm also advocating for the bike park. It's really exciting that we are talking about it. Just piggybacking on what my other fellow bike riders were saying before. I just wanted to kind of share a little bit with you guys. I don't know if you're aware, but there's many, many mountain bike groups and also cycling groups in Tucson. I'm currently serving as an administrator for Old Pueblo Mountain Bike Club, and we have over 1,200 members. Also just have been just joined the Sonoran Desert Mountain Bike Association, which is a trail advocacy group and also does events throughout Southern Arizona. I've been riding mountain bikes now for about 6 years quite regularly. One of the things that our group does weekly is we have many, many rides, all ages, all abilities. So this bike park would be just a phenomenal place for us to go and practice skills, also introduce people to mountain biking and also BMX riding too. I think that's part of the bike path. And I think what Duncan said also too is true. You could have you know, guys with skateboards, if it was built correctly, you could have all kinds of great things happening out there. You know, just we as mountain bikers, we're very involved in the community. We're a pretty tight knit community. Duncan is, as he said, is involved in Torca, which is kind of a sister group to SDMB, Sonoran Desert Mountain Bikers. So we could definitely give some input and also help with the design and maintenance of the park. You know, as he said, this park is not, you know, Red Bull, you know, crazy mountain bike. If you guys have ever seen the Red Bull guys, they're pretty crazy. I don't think anybody here is that crazy, but just really excited to see this on the docket, and really hoping that we can make this happen, and appreciate the time, and thank you very much.
Thank you. I'd like to call on Becca Collins to address the council. Staff, if we could enable Becca Collins' microphone. Becca Collins, your microphone's been enabled.
Awesome. I don't know. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Well, as you said, I'm Becca Collins. I have lived in Tucson my whole life. My husband and I moved to Oro Valley about a year and a half ago, specifically because of Naranja Park. And we moved about a mile down the road from Naranja Park. But we moved to Oro Valley because we have three kids, 12, 9, and 6. We're avid cyclists, major mountain bikers. We compete with our kids and by ourselves. So I'm just kind of echoing the same comments that have already been made. As you guys know, living in Oro Valley, we have a lot of things to offer out here that nobody else, like no other community in Tucson has to offer. And I think the greatest thing we have to offer our residents is the outdoor spaces for kids. My kids just went through, you know, what all the kids in our community went through, which was the pandemic where everything was shut down. And I know that from my perspective, something that really helped with especially our 12-year-old's mental health was being able to ride his mountain bike in and around, you know, Honeybee 50 year, all that sort of stuff. When he was just feeling super disconnected from his friends and family members and different things like that. So when I saw this come up, we of course were super excited about it because I know not only the value that it gives to the economy, which is huge, and I don't want to understate that, having just got back from Sedona and enjoying those trails out there, but also just that mental health value that it gives to families and to kids and adults. It's just a great way for us to all just kind of play together and get outside. And of course, I'm always majorly happy to see anything that gets kids off of their computers and away from the television screen. So I think that's all I have to say. Thank you so much for giving us the time and the space to be able to advocate for such an incredible asset.
Thank you. I'd like to call on John Costello to address the council. Staff, if we could enable Mr. Costello's microphone. Mr. Costello, your microphone has been enabled.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Sounds like the mountain bikers came out in full force, so here comes another one. As you mentioned, John Costello. I have been a 15-year Oro Valley resident, mountain biking since 1991. I don't know what else to say other than what everybody else has already said, but other than the only thing I could throw in there is these mountain bike parks also used by BMX riders. A lot of youth ride BMX and mountain bikes. I see them out on the trail on mountain bikes all the time. We already have that great trail system that goes through the Oro Valley Naranja Park, which is, you know, steep hills through the archery range, walk and shoot trails around the perimeter of the pit, or formerly was a pit, and adding a bike park somewhere in there connected to that would just, you know, that would be ideal. You could have everything. One of the things that people haven't mentioned is some, you know, biking communities often, not often, but they quite often, almost always maintain trails. Other communities that have bike parks have biking communities that I don't want to speak for anyone in particular, but we've got a lot in Tucson, and I've heard a couple mention that'll step up and take care of these things. And the cost is very low. If you ever look at what a bike park entails, hard packed dirt and some ramps and little board things. And, you know, they're really not very expensive. You'll have quite a few volunteers to help you maintain them. And I think for what you would get for what Oral Valley would get for what we'd put into something like this would be, you know, definitely worthwhile. So that's all I have to say. And I just thank you very much. I appreciate you giving me the mic. And anything you do to move us forward in that direction, I think you would have a lot of happy residents. Thank you.
Yeah. I'd like to call on Mr. Tyler Anderson to address the council staff. If we could enable Mr. Anderson's microphone. Mr. Anderson, your microphone has been enabled.
Hi, thank you. Again, yes, my name is Tyler Anderson, resident of Oro Valley for over 5 years. Moved here from Colorado with two children. And one of the, I've been working in the bicycle industry for a global manufacturer for 15 years. And I've seen the benefits of what a bicycle park can do for economies, for tourism, and especially for our local town businesses, especially all the bicycle shops that are in Oro Valley. So I'm here on behalf of them, advocating for us to move a bike park to a top priority in Naranja Park. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to call on, let's see, is that Kyle Williams to address the council? Kyle, your microphone has been enabled.
Hi, thank you. My name is Kyle Williams. I'm not a resident of Oro Valley, but I live adjacent in Tucson. I'm another household. We moved to this area in Southern Arizona specifically for the outdoor opportunities. But I do think one thing Southern Arizona is lacking is a good bike park. I just want to add another voice of support for the bike park. It would add a huge amount of value to this area, drive a lot of economic dollars here through tourism. It would also keep a lot of residents here for the weekends as opposed to driving to, say, Sedona or Flagstaff, where these facilities do exist there already. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't see any other hands raised. We'll close the public comment at this point and go to the council. Okay, excuse me. There's one additional. Beverly Roth, if you would please address the council staff. If we could enable Beverly's microphone.
Hello, can you hear
me? Yes, yep.
Yeah, I'm a neighbor of Oro Valley. I live in Catalina, and I'm in almost my sixth decade of life. And I'd just like to say that I've been mountain biking at the 50-year trail and Honeybee and some of the local trails, and my kids are out the door now, and I really love the sport, and we would just be so blessed if this park would become a reality for us, especially for women to improve our skills. And I just think tourism, like it's been mentioned, it would bring people into the community, and I'm just thankful that we had this time to share this desire we cyclists have for this park. Thank you for listening.
And thank you. So we appreciate those who've spoken tonight. Your contribution is important to us. We will go now to council questions. Those can be directed to Mr. Cornelison. Again, the purpose of tonight is setting priorities for specific projects to be included in the Parks and Recreation Bond. Questions? Councilmember Jones-Ivy.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Chris, I know that we had kind of talked about expanding the fills over at Naranja Park as a part of our priority. And so I would like to see us move forward with that and get as much finished as we can over there. And I want to know if the community center fund and the plan for the community center, does that include any funding for the irrigation system? Chris, can you hear me?
Sorry, Councilmember.
Okay, no problem.
So the Community Center Fund, I believe, is part of the CIP program that we did include funding for the irrigation.
Okay. Okay. And that was another priority that we had spoken about. So if we could, I would like to see us move forward with those specific items being completed as soon as we can, especially since I think this is, we talked about all of them, what was it, at least FY 20 or 1920, something like that.
Thank you. Any additional questions, Councilmember Jones-Ivy?
No, no other questions.
Councilmember Solomon?
No other comments.
Hi, thanks. Chris, I'd like a little more clarification on this $25 million. Where he seemed to be saying that half of the half-cent sales tax that was originally approved for the community center, the excess of that is what is going to be divvied up tonight through a $25 million bond. So my question is, how much does that leave for the golf course and community center? And is it only leave operating expenses in that fund? And how close of a margin does this $25 million leave? If we're short $100,000 one year, are we going to shut down the golf course operation? So could you give me more insight into how we come up with the fact that we can afford $25 million in bonding now to be paid back over the next 20 years? I need a comfort level that there's going to be enough money to do this. Well, I think the community probably needs a comfort level because they're the ones who are going to be paying for this. It's not a gift. Every household is going to be paying every year to help pay down this bond. So can you give us a little more precise numbers as to how you came up with this $25
million? Mr. Mayor, I'm going to jump in on this first, and then Mr. Gephardt is also on the line, and I'll ask staff to promote him in case there's a question, he and Wendy Gomez. But first of all, the initial answer, Councilmember Solomon, is that no, we are not leaving the Community Center Fund without a fund balance that could accommodate, as you said, maybe it's a strong drought, or you know, we pay more for water, or there's some additional expenses. Part of the reason why we identified $25 million as to what it is that could be funded is because we first did projections on what was going to be necessary to support the ongoing operations of both the golf course, the community center, the tennis courts, you know, all of the functions that we get based on historical information and also our projections for the future. Then we also looked at what are some of those ongoing operating capital that we need to plan for and included that in our five-year forecast. The balance in terms of, let's call that what was basically getting dumped into as increasing fund balance, which is what we were using for capital anyway. It's a fund balance dollars that excess revenues over expenditures that we were already putting in or planning to put towards capital. The only difference here is that instead of using those excess dollars, those reserves or excess revenues over expenditures to save up and pay cash for items, we're using it to basically pay the debt service payment for a much larger amount so that we can get more things done now. And that includes the irrigation system. So we did plan for that being paid for out of the bond funds because it was already being planned for out of the community center. So we included that in our projection. And then that still leaves a significant amount of dollars available for parks and rec programs in terms of whatever the council were to decide.
What is that amount that's left on Sunrise Central?
Hey, Steve, we can't.
Okay.
You were cutting out. Could you repeat again? You cut out.
Sure. So my question is, yes, but what amount is left in the community center fund after we are debt servicing this $25 million every year? What is the cushion in the community center fund? Because half of the money, it says, is going to go to Parks and Rec. And the actual motion says nothing about capital improvements. The actual motion says that exceeds the amount needed to operate the Kenyatta Conquistador and Push Ridge golf courses, community center, and tennis courts. There's absolutely nothing. That's only operating costs. So after the operating costs, this motion says we're going to take half the money and use it in other programs. So how much is left? First off, there's no money for the capital improvements in the community center golf courses, according to this, in the community center fund. So when you're done with the operating expenses, you're going to take it out and use it in other parks programs. So how much is left for the community center or the golf courses? And as I said, if it's a hot summer and we need to increase irrigation by $100,000 or $200,000, according to this, it won't be there. So,
and as I explained, we do have a fund balance. The projected fund balance, the fiscal 21-22 starting fund balance is projected to be about $2.8 million. That is different than the portion of the revenues that we will collect during the course of the fiscal year that will pay for the debt service payment for the $25 million. So we will still have that fund balance available to save up for other capital needs for the community center and golf course, other investments that need to be made, overages in operating costs, that kind of thing. And so, no, we did, and I'm going to let Dave Gephardt jump in and explain the projections and the forecast that we did for the fund that led him to this number and our ability to both support the community center fund and the operations and do this bond.
Yeah, thank you for the question, Council Member Solomon, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. So I've done a couple separate forecasts for the community center fund. One forecast basically assumed that we basically migrated all of the half cent sales tax monies into the general fund, and then utilize the general fund as the funding mechanism to repay or to transfer monies into the debt service fund to make bond repayment. With that forecast, what I basically was able to determine is based upon current operations, based upon what our current subsidy needs to be to keep the community center fund solvent and to keep it whole moving forward from an operational standpoint, we would need to subsidize the community center fund by about $1.25 million. So that's one scenario, one forecast. The other forecast assumes that we just kept the money in that half cent sales tax within the community center fund, kept it dedicated to that fund, and then utilized any sort of balance or overage in that fund. Once all operational costs were satisfied, were paid for, we utilized that as a debt service repayment mechanism. So there was a transfer, and that's actually what our budget for this current fiscal year reflects, is that second scenario. I think basically what we've seen is that our, we've been very conservative, I think, first and foremost, as we always are with our forecasts. What we've seen is that our golf operator has outperformed what our estimates were and done a very good job this past fiscal year. We really anticipate that might recede a little bit in upcoming years, but we don't know that. I mean, we could certainly golf operations could continue to be strong post-COVID, but as we migrate out of the COVID environment and kind of move towards hopefully a more of a normal economic atmosphere, that's really what our forecast assumes. And so saying that, I'm very comfortable. Plus, we also make the assumption that our half-cent sales tax is going to increase moving forward. And I think that's a very reasonable assumption as well. As the community continues to grow, certainly we've seen increases in single-family permits this past fiscal year. We don't see really anything slowing down, although things could turn around as interest rates rise. We don't really know what's going to happen, but long story short on this, we do feel very comfortable with the forecasts. The repayment mechanism, we're assuming about $1.7 million moving forward in both principal and interest. And if you take that $1.7 million in principal and interest repayment, that's where that $20 to $25 million number is coming from. That was presented to Stifel, our financial advisors, for bond issuances and debt issuances, and they have confirmed that is a reasonable amount. And so I think your question, Councilmember Solomon, circling all the way back, is: are we comfortable that we're not going to run the community center fund into the ground, into the hole, into a negative fund balance situation? And the short answer to that is yes. We have gone through and run various scenarios and really it depends on operations, but our operations right now are very strong and we anticipate that they're only going to get stronger. I think even this past fiscal year, we saw weakness, not necessarily on the golf operating side, but specifically with the community, town operated functions with the pool and fitness center, where we had closures. Those facilities are opening back up, and we anticipate that as they are open, that we're going to get more traffic, from residents in the community into those facilities, and that's only going to offset if we do see some sort of receding on the golf side. That's going to be offset on the fitness and the pool side. So I'm comfortable with our forecasts and projections. We've run this several different ways, as I've said. We're going to be conservative. We're going to ensure that our community center fund remains solvent, not only in the short run but long run. So hopefully that answers your question.
All right. So let me clarify a little bit. So what did you say the subsidy was this projected for this year? One point something million? I didn't.
Yeah, Council Member Solomon, Mr. Mayor, members of council, generally speaking, and it varies from year to year because there's fluctuation certainly, but generally speaking, it averages out to about $1.25 million per year if we place that half cent sales tax into the general fund. Now, if we obviously, that subsidy, that's where that $1.7 million is coming from, is because we're bringing in about 2.9 in the half cent sales tax currently, if not a little bit over that. So that's where that difference is coming from. Hopefully that clarifies that question for you.
And that's where my concern is. We get 2.9 million in revenue. We spend 1.25 on the operating costs for the golf courses in the community center. So we're taking the entire remaining balance of $1.7 million to service the debt on a $25 million bond. Now, look, I agree with bonding, particularly with construction costs, inflation right now, and so on. But that leaves zero. Now, the town manager said we got about two-something million in the fund. But with these numbers we just talked about, we will be adding zero every year to that 2 million, or have to, if sales tax revenues should fall or expenses increase, will actually have to take money out of the community center fund, which means once again, what if we have an increased water bill? What if we need to repair something in the community center? We now don't have that money, or we can't count on that money 5 years down the road when that $2 million that we have now is gone. So my question is, why are we cutting it so close where we're basically, we wouldn't do that in our household budget. We wouldn't come out and say, look, you know, look, honey, I got this great budget, and it comes out to zero. And she'd say, what do you mean zero? If one thing goes wrong, we have, you know, we're in the red. We have a problem. So why are we cutting it to basically the number zero instead of, you know, figuring out at least a $250,000 a year cushion or something?
Yeah, if I may, Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Solomon, I think there's a misunderstanding there that we are cutting it to, you know, that there is a zero cushion there. If we look at this past fiscal year, I believe our subsidy was only about $700,000 on the operational side. So that in and of itself, you know, my forecast assumed a $1.25 million this past fiscal year in a COVID environment. We're at about $750,000. So there is I believe there is a cushion there that doesn't even take into account any sort of growth with sales tax revenues on the half cent sales tax, which again, with, you know, with the growth of the town, et cetera, I don't see the inflation. I don't see the half cent sales tax. Certainly anything can happen, and there could be a significant recession, and that could be a challenge for us, certainly. But I don't see that that happening in the near run. I don't have, anything's possible, but I don't have that on my radar right now. So I think with the growth of the town, with inflation, I think we're going to continue to see moderate growth in our half cent sales tax collections. You know, assuming some, you know, not assuming something crazy happens, and I would say, you know, a pretty significant recession or whatever would be crazy at this point. So I don't view it the same. I think there is cushion on both sides, both on the operating side and on the sales tax collection side.
Well, yes, and if like what you're saying is correct, and I do know that this last year was 700,000. Now that leaves us a good, you know, over $500,000 cushion using the, you know, 1.7 million for the bond servicing. So something like that I'm comfortable with, because now we're not cutting it so close. I mean, we all want to see more parks and recreations, but we want to make sure that we don't put ourselves in a financial position where it stresses our finances because things are now coming up short and we can't afford the money to service the bond. And, you know, that's a 20-year commitment. We have to pay that each month. We can't say, oops, we had to spend extra money on water because it was hot this year. The lender doesn't care. The bondholders don't care. Okay, so if that's the case, then we'll be closer to a $500,000. So that...
And Councilmember Solomon, if I may just kind of to kind of close out this topic, I just want to reiterate that we... Our practice, and you know we have a strong track record here, is conservative forecasting. I promise you that we would never bring something forward to the council that we did not think was reasonable. Now, the $25 million at this point is our projection. It's been what's been included in the budget. But we haven't gone out for those bonds yet. And so there is still time between now and then. What we're looking for tonight is... what do you want those priority projects to be? And it's possible that we may not be able to end up doing all of them. We might have to come back to you and say, hey, our eyes are bigger than our stomach, right? And we might have to, you know, shave a few off or save a few for a few, you know, a few years in the future. But I can assure you that I have reviewed in detail with the team our forecast and how we got there. And I am confident that we can stand by these numbers and that we will refine them over the coming months before we go out to bond and bring a bond resolution forward to you in the fall.
Well, thank you. I mean, my only remaining question, or I should say disappointment, is that Wendy didn't get to speak because she has all of these numbers memorized. So, but no, thanks for that information. It's a great help. Thank you.
Just thank you. As a reminder to council, I see hands raised by Councilmember Bowen, Councilmember Nicholson. Again, the discussion tonight, as Ms. Jacobs said, it's about setting priorities for specific projects to be included within the Parks and Recreation bond. So let's please stay within those parameters of the agendized item. It's setting priorities for specific projects. Councilmember Bowen and then Councilmember Nicholson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Would it be possible to ask staff if we could open up the Parks and Recreation Master Plan available on the town website? I believe it's dated April 13th, 2021.
Councilmember Bowen, we're not prepared to do that. We have to put them into a PowerPoint slide, so I apologize for that.
Okay. I have a question, and I'm admitting my lack of knowledge in this specific area, but I have heard our speakers, and I really appreciate people making the time to come out and wait through previous agenda items. When I look at the 6.26 Naranja Park Concept Plan, which is on page 107, of the master plan, I see an item 8, which is a new pump track. And I'm just freely admitting my lack of detailed knowledge in the area. What, you know, is a new pump track, is that addressing the needs that, you know, we've been hearing from the community tonight, 5 or 6 different speakers? Is a pump track, you know, technically, I've been searching on Google while I was listening to you guys. It seems like there's some overlap there. Is that the intent of the pump track? And maybe Christy would need to answer that, or perhaps you can, Mary.
Yes, thank you, Councilmember Bowen. And yes, that pump track really is intended to capture the spirit of that cycling community. The cool thing about pump tracks, and Councilmember Nicholson might be able to talk from experience, they have a lot of ups and downs, and in terms of they're called whoops. So you can literally pump instead of pedal, so it provides a variety of options.
Okay, thank you. And I would encourage those who spoke to us to access that plan, and it's page 107, and it would be item number 8 in the diagram that we show. Mr. Mayor, with respect to priorities, I do understand that's the intent of the agenda item, and I'd like to take advantage of having the floor right now to speak up for an amenity that we've owned since 2007, and that is Steam Pump Ranch. I personally believe that Steam Pump Ranch has suffered somewhat over the years because it doesn't have a dedicated funding source. And I would encourage people, you know, if you go by and look on the second Saturdays, you do see a lot of activity, and there has been a lot of progress there. So in this case, I would reach out to my fellow council members and strongly advocate for looking at not just the level of service improvements at Steam Pump Ranch, but also the new facilities there. It's a significant amount of money. It's $5 million, but it's we're really talking about 20% of what we may be proposing here. And finally, one of the reasons, Christy, why I wanted to open up the master plan is I wanted to go back to section 2.6 and go and review our survey results once again. I think it's a very nice plan. We pulled together. Another thing that I would like to reach out to my fellow council members about are interconnectivity and multi-use trails, particularly paved trails. That was one of the number one things that we got from the survey. And I know there's a lot of items here, you know, about 14, but it's also explained in the plan as to what these 14 different elements mean and whether they would service the northern part of town, the central part, or even the southern part of Oro Valley. And I believe I was going over that earlier today with a staff member. I would advocate for those two items in addition to Naranja Park. I think, you know, there's going to be more than enough good projects to spend, $25 million on. But I think, you know, there's a lot of needs. And so I just wanted to kind of make my position clear that steampunk ranch would be wonderful thing to really attack now, because it's never had the dedicated funding source. And I hope that other council members would look at the interconnectivity options that we have there, because if we go back and we look at what the community asked us for, that was very high up there. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Nicholson and then Councilmember Green.
Second to unmute. I just want to also advocate, obviously, for the bike park. I think most people know that I've been advocating for it. I have one question, Chris. Yeah, I know the number, but I was going to ask you, how much is the pump track going to cost or projected?
Council, so forgive my voice. I have like this awful allergy drainage going on. And so anyway, I sound a little rough. From the attached consultant cost opinion, the amenity itself for a pump track was estimated at $150,000, and then the skate park, that general plaza, was estimated at $1.35 million. Okay. Again, that was the cost estimate that was provided, the cost opinion. And, you know, as a reminder, that doesn't include any of the design and just infrastructure needs. It's the amenity itself.
Okay. So I just want to say, out of the $25 million, the $150,000 for just the pump track is less than 1% of the whole cost of the bond. It's actually 0.6%. And kind of big thing about the pump track, it's a big value on investment. So, I mean, people do races, it brings tourism in, and I think it just brings a diversity of tourism. I talked to Roger at the Fairfield Inn, and, you know, he talks about all the different types of sports that come in and do stuff. But, you know, if you add ball fields, you know, people are going to play on the ball fields at a certain time, but, you know, not necessarily bring in more bookings, but if you bring in a little bit more diversity, whether it's pickleball or biking or whatever, but we just have a lot of great biking in Oro Valley. We got the Honey Bee Trail. We got the 50-year trail. We have people coming through Oro Valley. So, I mean, I think it would benefit our hotels if we were able to do events here and show people, you know, people come in to do the pump track, but then they'll probably also go ride on a few other trails around in Oro Valley. And I know that Sedona brings in a huge amount of revenue when they have their events in March, which I've gone to several times, and it's very well done, and it brings a lot of people to the town. And then this next one's kind of for Gephardt. I know, you know, I obviously went spearheaded the PSPRS, and I already sent us an email. It's $11 to $23 million savings out of the 16-year period, which I did the math. That's $57,000 to $123,000 per month of savings. So, you know, this pump track could essentially just if the PSPRS, not even the bond, but I would imagine that we could use that money to even pay for a pump track, which we pay for in, you know, a month and a half to 2 months of the revenue from PSPRS. And my question to Gephardt is, are we allowed that the money that we're saving on PSPRS, are we allowed to use any of those funds for these items on this agenda, or is that not something that we can do? Because I know Steve was worried about some of the money, you know, we're getting tight on the budget with the bond and revenue we get in from golf, but just from the savings on the pension, can we use some of that those funds to also pay for some of these things if needed, if it came up short?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Nicholson, thank you for the question. Those savings are obviously projected savings from PSPRS. We would obviously want to see those materialize moving forward. You know, the key with our PSPRS funding policy is that that we want to keep it at 100%, and we want to make sure that we have the adequate resources available to do so if there's a downturn in the market, if investment returns in the plan don't materialize. So I would be hesitant in the near run to try to tap those savings for that purpose. With that said, if we did see plan returns greater than the 5.3%, significantly greater than the 5.3% that we forecasted, certainly we could look at that, and we became significantly overfunded in the PSPRS plan. We could certainly look at that for operational needs and operational purposes, or even capital needs and capital purposes. So that would certainly be something that would be an option available to future councils should that materialize.
Okay. But even on the low end, it was still like CBIZ said on the high end, it'd be $23 million of savings over the period of 16 years. But even on the low end, like the plan's not really even doing well. At 5.3% returns, it'd be $11 million, which over any 20-year period of our economy, have we've never seen below 6.8%. So, I mean, that would still be $7,000 a month.
Mr. Mayor, Council Member Nicholson, if I may. So the net present value of that $11 million was about 8.3 or 8.5. I don't have the number in front of me. So the net present value savings were not quite the $11 million. The $11 million was the total over the 16-year period. I would be hesitant. We've seen with the Great Recession, the plan, I think it bottomed out with the 7-year smoothing at about 5%. So it is possible that the 5.3 may not be achieved. Again, that was a historic recession. So I don't know, the likelihood of us having such a severe recession in the future is probably not real great, hopefully. But with that said, we have seen lower returns than 5.3 in the 7-year smoothing in the PSPRS plan. So we just want to be mindful that as we move forward, that we are able to keep that 100% funding status with our pension. So.
And if I may add, Mr. Mayor, members of council, I want you to be assured that whatever priorities you establish, it's our responsibility to figure out what revenue sources we can piece together to get you there, okay? And we are committed to doing that. So tonight, we really want you to focus on what are those priorities, what are the things that you would like constructed, designed, and then this is a multi-year project, okay? The Naranja Park, by the time we get a contractor on board, it gets designed, we may not even, turn over a spoonful of dirt until next summer at the earliest. That's life. This is just a long process because of all of our procurement rules and all that kind of stuff. And so we'll have another budget process. We'll rebudget. If we need to add revenues to it, we'll do that. We'll do that. And so I am committed to bringing you a plan that gets your priorities accomplished. And if we need to drop some things off, I will bring those to you. But for now, we just want to know, what do we want to get started on? And we want to give clear direction to our designers so that they are working on the right things, and our staff, because this is a big project and a lot of staff work, and we don't want to waste time. We want to do what you all are asking us to do.
Councilmember Green or Councilmember Nicholson, was that it? I think Pump Track was the specific project that you identified.
Yeah, Pump Track. Thank you.
Councilmember Green, and then Vice Mayor Barrett.
I just want to echo what Councilmember Bowen said earlier regarding Steam Pump Ranch. I mean, it is our history. We have a history that goes back quite a ways, but the living pieces of our history are at Steam Pump Ranch. And I would like to be reassured that the amount of money in our budget is what the board there feels will be adequate for their needs.
And can I just speak to that very briefly? There's 300,500 that's already in the pipeline for Steam Pump Ranch. And that is for the garage. That is for the barbecue and the two bunkhouses. So there's already significant funding that is allocated for Steam Pump Ranch.
Do you feel that the board of the ranch felt that was adequate, or do they have additional needs?
I think there's always more need, but I believe that they would be elated with a $1.3 million investment in the Steam Pump Ranch. I mean, we haven't seen that kind of investment for some time, and that's a significant investment that this council has already approved.
Okay.
Vice Mayor Barrett, I didn't mean to was there anything specific projects, Councilmember Green?
No, no.
Okay. Vice Mayor Barrett?
Thank you. I just wanted to briefly comment on the financials that we just saw. The financials said the year-end sales tax support for golf operations is estimated to be $291,443. So I just wanted to comment on that on the earlier. But regarding specific projects, I'd really like to speak in favor of Naranja Park and the amenities there. In particular, I think that's a park that touches so many people in Oro Valley. And all of those amenities, whatever we put into Naranja Park and we're able to put in, will be so used by our community and the people who surround our community, who come and shop at our stores and pay our sales taxes and all of those things. And so I just really think that those fields at Naranja Park, the splash pad, the basketball, there's really no place for basketball currently in our community in Oro Valley. So the basketball, pickleball is currently on the rise and very popular with seniors and families. So there's, you know, pickleball courts there. We heard tonight about the need for a pump track. When I met with the Youth Advisory Council, their top priority that they mentioned to me was a skate park. So just all of those amenities at Naranja Park, I think, would make such a big difference in our community. And so that's one thing I wanted to speak in favor of. And then I also care quite a bit about the multi-use path connectivity, because I did see that that was a top priority of our residents. And it's also something that me and my family use. I have many friends who use the multi-use path facilities. Just many of the constituents that I've spoken to really enjoy the multi-use paths and use them frequently. I think it's a signature of Tucson in general with the loop path that we have. We're consistently rated one of the best cycling communities in the country. So we do get cyclists to come here, and we can capture some of that in Oro Valley when we continue to improve the connectivity of our multi-use paths. And I think that that's something for us to really shoot for. And I know there isn't funding in this bond to go the whole way and do every project that was identified on the list. There may be a few key projects that can kind of get us off the ground and get the ball rolling. And then we can continue in future years to look for funding through transportation projects, park money, capital money, you know, grants, Pima County money. There's various things that could all potentially be applied towards multi-use path funding. So there may be some projects that can kind of kick us off and get us going. And I would really advocate for those.
Thank you. I'd like to just take a moment, and I'd like to see investment from this through this bond financing in three areas. And I won't, I'll try to be as brief as possible. I think the first project area is the community center and the investment into the Conquistador Cañada golf courses, golf irrigation replacement is a priority. The tennis court replacement, I believe, is a priority. The resurfacing and reconfiguring of the parking area, I believe, is a priority. And I think our community would be well served by investment in the community center into those three areas. I'm also in agreement that Naranja Park is an important, incredibly important asset of our community that goes, you know, goes back 20 years from when that property was acquired. And I would certainly support the amenities that are shown and represented in the plan, the two multi-use fields, the splash pad, the pickleball courts, the basketball courts, the pump track, the skate park, the new paved paths, the Ramada's restrooms, and then the associated infrastructure. On the multi-use path, I'm in agreement, and I know that there was certainly a strong support for our multi-use path and non-paved trail system. I think with the multi-use path, what my recommendation would be are three, I think, key links to our multi-use path system. And that's the La Cañada Drive between Lambert and Naranja. That would connect our community to the community center, as an example. The Naranja Drive between La Cañada and the park entrance would be would also connect with Naranja Park. And that would be with the caveat, I wouldn't want to see investment there if we're going to have to tear that out when Naranja Road is widened. So I would want to be reassured that whatever kind of multi-use path that we would construct there would be for the long term and not a short term investment. I think another key segment is the CDO wash to the James D. Cree Park. And so those, and right now we have the Lambert extension as part of the widening of Lambert. This is ongoing. This will be a multi-use path. Right now it connects with the entrance to the West Lambert Park. But with these three proposed multi-use segments, we would connect with the community center, we would connect with Naranja Park, and we would connect with James D. Cree Park. And these all tie into our existing multi-use path system. I just would like to say that with the multi-use path, we have some excellent opportunities for outside funding. The Arizona State Parks Trails Program, the RTA Next is certainly a potential funding source, and RTA currently is a potential funding source. So I think there's some real opportunities to take advantage of additional funding sources for our multi-use path system. I left out Steam Pump Ranch for the reasons I stated earlier. We already have, this council's already approved $1.3 million for investment into Steam Pump Ranch. And for that reason, I believe that the bulk of this investment from the $25 million should go to the community center, should go to Naranja Park, and to our multi-use path system. So,
Mayor?
Yes, Vice Mayor.
If you'd like to make that as a motion, I'd be happy to second it.
Excuse me, well, Mr. Mayor.
I
have my hand raised.
Right. I saw that your hand was raised, Councilmember Solomon. Councilmember Bowen, your hand is raised, and Councilmember Green, I don't know if that's from your previous comments or you're wanting to speak again. But
no,
Councilmember Solomon.
Thank you. You know, this is something that we've struggled with for years. There are many good projects. We've heard about a few tonight. A lot of those projects, you know, for example, are personal wants. I would love to see a dirt bike track. If I used it, I'd probably kill myself, but it'd still be nice because I think it'd be utilized. My wife and I, we love going to the dog park. So obviously I would love to see the grass redone in the dog park. That's my own personal wants and needs. So for years, we always struggled with, well, how do we determine what the overall community wants? How do we spend, how do we prioritize not just our funds, but our space? Well, about 2 years ago, we did something about that. We went and did a statistically valid survey. We hired consultants to do that. Now, I'm hearing everybody saying, oh, I want this, I want that. Let me just refresh our memories a little bit about the statistically valid survey. On the master plan, phase one, 2000, it says, the only scientific and defensible method to understand community needs. We wanted to know what does the community want, not what do I want or my wife want or my neighbor wants. What does the community want? We spent a lot of money and 2 years on this study to figure out what the priorities of the community are. Okay, so what are some things? And by the way, they said that the surveys had a 95% level of confidence
These are the statistically valid surveys. 375 were completed. So what did all the statistically valid surveys say? Well, it says 54% indicated they have utilized both steam pump ranch and paved trails in the last 6 months. 54%, that was the top number of responses. So right away, we know, hey, steam pump and these trails. The next one was 40% was natural surface trails. Then CDO River Park walking trails. Then Honeybee Canyon Park, the community center, and the community center golf courses. There's our priorities. Are we going to ignore a statistically valid survey and what the community has told us we want, not what I want or my wife wants or someone else wants? That was the whole point of this, was to get away from our personal wants. Statistically valid survey, the only scientific and defendable way to determine the community's priority. Now, our consultants, now this is something else that's interesting. One of the questions was, during the past 12 months, has your household participated in recreation program or services offered by the town of Oro Valley? 55%, more than a majority, said no, we did not use any. Only 45% said they did. So those priorities from above, you have to put in perspective, is only 45% of the respondents. So it's really less than half of the community that's even in our statistically valid survey. Now the consultants went on further. They actually corrupted or invalidated the statistically valid survey by saying, now we're opening up to comments of anyone who wants to comment on our website, and they got 926 plus comments. But this wasn't part of the statistically valid survey, which just in their own words says it was invalid. Well, what does that show about the priority? Let's say, hey, maybe there's some merit to that. We had almost 1,000 people in the community say what they wanted us to spend money on in parks and rec. And the high priority list, preserving the golf course in Vistoso as open space. Next, reinvesting in the community center, reinvesting in golf courses. I also found this one very interesting. Take care of what we already have. Before we go after the new bright, shiny toy, let's make sure we take care of what we have. And the community center is a great example of us not taking care of what we have. Community connectivity through trails, expansions of trails. There's our priorities. Why is this council considering ignoring the priorities of our community in our parks and rec spending? What? I don't understand that. There's no excuse for that. We went through this 2-year process with this statistically valid survey and then these online surveys, yet bikes, trails are great. When I was on council, we approved one of the largest bike trails in Southern Arizona, but now, do we just say whoever comes and speaks, they get their money? We ignore this 2-year study? I don't understand this. I'd like someone to explain. I don't understand how we can justify spending a penny on any item that doesn't have a one-to-one correlation with our community survey. And by the way, Naranja Park's not in there. I don't understand how we could say 50% of the money goes to Naranja Town Park. There's nothing in the survey that says that's important to people. Why is this council trying to override the community wants and desires on our parks and rec system? This council wants to spend $25 million, and believe me, we can use it in parks and recs, but they want to spend it our way. I've heard so many comments about I want or the council wants. Somebody please explain this to me. Tell me how we're going to ignore this. I will not vote for anything that doesn't have a one-to-one correlation that is what the community wants. I will vote for what the community wants, not what I want or someone else wants. And that's where my priorities come from. I don't even know why we're holding this meeting, why we developed a list that doesn't correlate one-to-one with the 2 years of work so we could finally figure out how to spend our money. And it's shameful that we have opened this up to anybody that wants money for a particular personal project, come here and ask for it. That's not how it's done. That's not what the community wants. Is this council going to vote for, along with the community wants, or make up its own list? And that's fine. You want to do that? You stand behind it and you tell the community why you spent 2 years and now you're ignoring their wants and wishes. That's all I have to say.
Councilmember Bowen.
Yes. Thank you, Mayor Winfield. At a 3 o'clock meeting with Mary Jacobs this afternoon, I asked Mary to have the master plan that was created April 13th open and available. Nothing that I have suggested is not to be found on page 33, 2.61, program service and facility amenity rankings, town as a whole. Facility amenity, and these are the ones that are in the high category, and I'm reading this verbatim. Trails, natural service, trails, multi-use paved, open space conservation areas and trails, neighborhood parks, restroom buildings, large community parks, of which Naranja Park is part of that category, performing arts venue, stage, and community gardens. And I apologize to the community if I might have said I want, but in fact, you know, I believe that the staff was coming to us as council members, as elected representative, to say what our preferences are. But I would like to respond to the previous comments and mention there's nothing that I have said and attached I want to that's not supported by data that's provided to us by staff. It's not a personal wish list. Rather, I asked to have this data available so people could see how what I said I wanted tied into what we asked for and what the community came back to us and said they wanted. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
And Mr. Mayor, we do have the council member asked me for the prioritized list, and that is available. Mr. Cornelison has it. If we need to pull it up on the screen, he can share that screen if necessary.
Thank you. I've followed the Parks and Recreation master planning process really throughout the process. And these recommendations are not personal recommendations. They're recommendations that are rooted in the master plans for each of our parks, the community center, Naranja Park, and the multi-use path system. Yes, I've identified specific projects for those three projects, but they are a reflection of what's in those proposed master plan. Certainly, replacing the golf irrigation at the Conquistador Cañada courses, I believe, is a desire of many of our community, but it's also a need. And we have these courses, and the irrigation systems are needing to be replaced. The tennis courts, as we found through this Parks and Master Planning process, is that a significant number, a percentage of our community are active tennis players. And we have a facility, again, that's a town facility, that we have been paying $90,000 a year to basically patch the courts to repeat that again. So during my tenure, we'll have spent nearly $300,000. I believe money would, first of all, I believe tennis is an important activity of our community. And I believe it just makes good economic sense to replace the tennis courts with concrete so that we're not incurring those repeated costs. It will pay itself back in 10 years.
Yeah.
The resurfacing and reconfiguring of the parking, I mean, I've been to the community center many times and talked with community center users, and the chief complaint and with staff is the problem with parking. We have the community center, we have golf, we have tennis, we have pickleball, and we have a parking lot that's not serving our community. And so, again, that's not a personal desire of mine. I believe it's a reflection of what our community has been asking for, is to improve parking at the community center. I believe that those investments reflect the not only the desire of the community, but they're just their needs that we have because we own these facilities. Naranja Park was recommended by our Parks and Recreation Board as the number one priority through the Parks and Recreation Master Planning process. Again, these items that have been listed are not my personal items, but they're reflected in the master plan that was generated through various public outreach efforts, including a statistically valid survey. And those plans reflect that community involvement, that community participation. We may not be in agreement with everything that is represented in that plan, but it was developed as a reflection of community participation, community involvement. The multi-use path system, again, these are segments that I'm making specific recommendations because I believe that they are important connectors to our existing multi-use path system that will provide added enhanced connectivity to James D. Cree Park, to Naranja Park, and to the community center. So it will simply enhance the multi-use path. So as far as I'm concerned, these recommendations, these projects, the community center, Naranja Park, the multi-use path system, are a reflection of our community's desires and needs, and I certainly stand by them. Councilmember Solomon.
Yes, first let me say I agreed with everything you had said, except there is one exception, and I agree with you. The trails, the community center, obviously the parking lot plan, are all directly linked to the priorities in the statistically valid survey. Splash pads, bike tracks are not, 100% not. Now, one unfortunate thing that happened is we go back to the original data. Remember, the statistically valid data was just 375 surveys. Then the consultants opened it up to a non-statistically valid website input. And I read what those priority was. Once again, nothing about a splash pad, nothing about, you know, putting all these new amenities into Naranja Park. Other than that, everything you have said and advocated for is 100% supported by the community and their priorities. One of the unfortunate things is when these consultants came up with these master plans, they did not link them back to the statistically valid survey, nor even the website input. Once you add data into the statistically valid survey through a random, well, it's not random, web survey and neighborhood focus groups, that's no longer statistically valid. Those are people who have an interest in a specific project at a park and they want to see it funded. That's fine. We all have that, but that's not what the original statistically valid survey said, or even the online one said. So most of those things listed in Naranja Town site have no correlation whatsoever to the original data of what the community said they wanted. Everything else you mentioned does. In fact, they were all top priorities. So I agree with that. You know, once again, look at the facilities that these people said they use. Naranja Town Sites or Park is not even on there. It's not even the lowest. It doesn't even get onto the scale. You know, once again, and that was from the general
survey. Well, no, actually, I'm sorry. That was from the statistically valid survey. I mean, we've got, they use Steam Pump Ranch, and thank you, Tim, for bringing that up, and Mo, and paved trails. That was the absolute top. And then natural surface trails. Then CDO River Park trails, Honeybee Canyon Park, then Community Center and Community Center Golf. So yes, those all 100% correlate to what our community has said they want. Once we start looking at other things, we start to get further and further away from the statistically valid survey. So we got to be careful when we say, oh, statistically valid survey said this. No, it didn't. That's all the statistically valid survey had told us. And once again, and 55% of the people in the survey don't use any facilities. So we're now looking at, you know, that would bring up the question is, why are we putting money to Parks and Rec? Don't we have other capital needs? But we are fortunate to have this money available specifically for Parks and Recs. So that's why we're looking at this in isolation to all the other capital improvements that this town needs, which is quite a bit. But once again, preserving the golf course, reinvesting the community center, reinvesting in golf courses, community connectivity, expansion of trails. You know, those are all the top priorities. There's none of this other stuff that we've got listed. Naranja Park on that list, that I'm not sure where it even came from. It certainly didn't come from the surveys. The vast majority of money, $6 million, is for items that none of the community asked for or wanted. Those items should not be in there. We should concentrate on the priorities. We should go to staff and say, follow these priorities. And just like it's always done, this is kind of backwards with staff coming to council, say, tell us your priorities. It's, no, we have the priorities. Then staff analyzes them and presents them and says, council, this is what these prioritized things from the survey, this is what it's going to cost. Oh, it adds up to less than $22 million. We can do it all. Or they say, no, it adds up to more. Which do you want to do? Here's the financial analysis. I mean, so we should be going back to staff saying, here's the priorities of the community. This is what they said. I mean, like I said, Mr. Mayor, you summarized it very well. Now, tell us what each one's going to cost and bring it back to us so we can figure out how to spend this money and not just randomly put in like a splash pad or something that doesn't even hit the top priority list or some of the other items in a park that the vast majority of people don't even utilize.
Thank you. Councilmember Jones-Ivey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I understand what you're saying, Councilman Sullivan, but there's an issue with the argument. I'm not seeing, yes, there are some new things that have been added, but I don't see where they differ from the priorities that I became familiar with when I was first elected. I think this is an opportunity, and so we can get through this conversation. Are we not looking at funds that are going to be made available so that not only can we address the initial priorities that I'm aware of that included what you said, but also some additional things that can be added? That was my feeling about it. So I get the feeling that the criticism and the shutting down of this conversation is not where we want to go right now. Can we just open it up? And if you can just be a little bit more open-minded and let's look at what we can possibly accomplish. All staff can do is, as you said, come back and say, we can do this, we can do that. But right now, I get the feeling we're talking about the wish list of our community. It's not our personal wish list.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
So can we just move this along?
Vice Mayor Barrett.
Yes, I'd like to make a motion that we move forward with the mayor's previously itemized list and ask that he please read it.
Okay.
As a prioritized list from council.
So the following projects would be the community center, Naranja Park, and the multi-use path system. Specific amenities or elements of those projects for the community center would be the Conquistador and Kenyatta Course golf irrigation replacement, the tennis course replacement, resurfaced and reconfigured parking. Those would be the three amenities of the community center. For Naranja Park, and these are all in the master plan for Naranja Park, was also the number one priority of our Parks and Recreation Board, or representatives of our community, was two multi-use fields, splash pad, pickleball courts, basketball courts, pump track, skate park, new paved paths, ramadas, restrooms, and associated infrastructure. The multi-use path, there are three proposed segments: La Cañada Drive between Lambert and Naranja, which would connect our community to the community center; Naranja Drive between La Cañada and the Naranja Park entrance, which would connect the community to Naranja Park at the south end; and CDO Wash to James D. Cree, and that would connect, of course, the community to James D. Cree Park from our existing multi-use path system. So those are the three project areas and amenities that reflect our reflection of our Parks and Recreation Master Plan.
So that's my motion.
For a second? Councilmember Nicholson seconds. And discussion. Councilmember Solomon and then Councilmember Jones-Ivy.
Thank you.
Councilmember Solomon, we can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Well, once again, Mr. Mayor, I agree with your initial recommendations. They correlate to what the community's told us. Your other ones simply do not. The Naranja Town Park simply does not. Here's the list. Basketball courts, absolute bottom of what the community said they wanted, absolute bottom priority. Yet now we're saying spend money on it. I'm sorry, that does not reflect what the community wants. I dearly would love to vote for all those community center and trail improvements, but I cannot then go and vote for items that you just listed or was on that list that don't even make the medium priority, let alone the top priority of what the community wants. And believe me, we don't have enough money to even fund all the top priority items. And once again, what an insult, what a slap in the face to all the community members that participated in this, that we would then go and approve, yes, one set of top priorities, and then ignore all the others and go to bottom priorities. And these bottom priorities represent very, very few people. So I'm afraid I'm going to be forced to vote no on this, even though I completely support the community center, the golfs, and the trails, which the community has told us is a top priority. I will not vote to bond money and put this community in debt over items they clearly do not want, and this council refuses to acknowledge that and wants to come up with excuses as to, oh no, people have told me that was what we were trying to get away from. I've had a lot of input from people of what they want, but that's the problem. That's why we finally said we need a good scientific approach to find out what all the community wants. And what the motion on the floor is does not do that. And I will absolutely not vote for that because it's a slap in the face to the community and the 2 years of the Parks and Rec thing. And to say that it's on the master plan or that it's in there, some of that is made up. this 25% in the Ron Hall Town Park funding, or 50%, I'm sorry, that's made up. Where did that come from? Absolutely nowhere in the data that was collected of what the community wants. Nowhere. So how can this council go and support it? I guess they can if they're not sensitive to the community needs. And you can argue all you want, but the data is there. It's in black and white as to what the community said they wanted. And you can try to massage it, and you could try to say, oh, no, no, the community did want a basketball court. No, they didn't. They made it clear, 100% clear. And that's, I'm just using as one example. Same thing with the splash pad. It's not on there. So I really appreciate the council wanting to fund the top priorities, but I cannot add onto items onto that funding that in some cases they specifically said basically we don't want. Thank you.
Councilmember Jones-Ivey and then Councilmember Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to amend that motion that was made to include the IGA for AMFI School District for us to be able to expand the fill use by helping them improve.
I'd like to just speak to that, Councilmember Jones-Ivey.
Okay.
I've had some initial conversations with Superintendent Jaeger, with Board Supervisor Rex Scott,
mm-hmm.
With our town manager. And what's become clear is that there's more discussion that's going to need to occur. I think there's agreement in principle between AMPFI School District, our County Board of Supervisor Representative Rex Scott, and ourselves that we certainly want to partner. But I believe that keeping that separate from this motion is, I think, would be preferable. But I don't know if the town manager wants to chime in on that.
Mr. Mayor and members of council, certainly we support the partnership with AMPFI and the possibility of investing in the Coronado Fields, but we do have a lot of work that we need to do. I'm a little concerned. This is already a big plate, and the work that needs to be done, I think, is going to take a little bit of time. We can rebudget for it next fiscal year. It'll stay on our radar screen for sure. It will absolutely stay on our radar screen. We will continue our conversations with AMPFI, and I'll bring it back to the council at such time that it's ready to go with the funding attached to it. So we need to find out connections with what the county's invested in, what is AMPFI going to do, how are we going, because it's not just about the, we also have long-term maintenance costs for all of these items here,
uh-huh.
and we have to start doing some projections on what those are going to be as well.
Okay. That was a priority in my mind, and I understand that there's probably been some complications, but since I understand that it's going to be some ongoing negotiations, I'm not understanding why it should be taken off the list of priorities here. So help me understand that. Okay, I understand that we need to negotiate with the county and also AMPFI, but I'm not getting your point to it's got to be something that's delayed when other things can be moving forward while we're continuing to negotiate with them.
Certainly, and I'm not saying that we won't continue to do that. I don't think we'll need those resources in the current fiscal year. I also need to do a little research to find out if the investments we can make in someone else's property are something that we can bond for. We may have to find another fund source for it. And I haven't had a chance to be able to do that yet.
Okay. All right. Then Mary, can you keep me abreast of what is
going on? Of
course. Okay. I'd appreciate that.
You bet.
All right. I'll rescind my amendment.
Thank you. Councilmember Bowen. You need to unmute yourself, Councilmember Bowen.
My apologies, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate the leadership you've shown to make a proposal to all of us. I think you've made a very reasonable proposal, and I'll likely approve it. But I would like to just revisit Steam Pump Ranch really briefly. I think you accurately mentioned that there is $1.3 million worth of funding going, and that's much appreciated. But that's also, it's a location, it's a resource that's been starved of funding, in my opinion, for 15 years. And I'd like for everyone to note that in addition, we take the $1.3 million or even the $5 million that's shown here in the list that staff's put together for us. That doesn't even address the largest structure on the ranch, which is the Proctor Lieber House. So I just wanted to elaborate a little bit for the public to say, you know, Steam Pump Ranch still has a lot of needs. And I can't recall in all of my time being involved in the town when it's ever been a priority. And when we're doing a $25 million bond, I think at least one council member needs to speak up and say, you know, if not now, when, for Steam Pump Ranch. So I'd like to reiterate, thank you for your leadership, and I will support your motion. But I don't think that any investment in Steam Pump Ranch at this point would be frivolous at all. It's just simply we have a lot of good needs that we have in the town, and we just have to make some hard selections. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Bowen. Seeing no more discussion, I'd like to take a vote. So Mr. Standish, roll call vote, please.
Vice Mayor Barrett?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowen? No, I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
He's muted.
Sorry, yes.
Thank you. Councilmember Green?
No.
Councilmember Jones-Ivy?
Yes.
Councilmember Nicholson?
Yes.
Councilmember Solomon?
No.
And Mayor Winfield?
Yes. The motion passes 5-2. Thank you, member, or thank you, council, for the discussion. We'll go now to item 2 of the agenda.
Resolution number R21-37. Presentation, discussion, and possible action to adopt revised financial and budgetary policies.
And Mr. Gephardt will make the presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. We've got a short presentation for you this evening. I know it's late, so we'll try to make this somewhat brief and move it along. And so next slide, please. So GFOA recommends regular and systematic review and updating of our financial policies. And so this is kind of in line with what is recommended by the Government Finance Officers Association. Just as a little background, we started this process reviewing our current financial policies almost a year ago, brought it to the Budget and Finance Commission. They performed a systematic, comprehensive, and thorough review of the policies in 4 separate meetings. The new policy includes 2 separate policies that have been, historically, they've stood on their own. They've been folded into what is proposed for you this evening, and that is those 2 policies include the investment policy and then also the PSPRS pension funding policy, which was approved by council on June 16th. And just as a reminder, financial policies are central to a strategic and long-term approach to financial management for the town. Next slide, please. So the purpose of financial policies, just as a reminder, is they really institutionalize good financial management practices. Formal policies usually outlive their creators and thus promote stability and continuity, and they also prevent the need to reinvent responses to recurring issues. The second point there, they clarify and crystallize strategic intent for financial management. Financial policies define a shared understanding of how the town will develop its financial practices and manage its resources to provide the best value to the community. Financial policies define boundaries. They define limits on the actions that staff may take. And the policy framework provides the boundaries within which staff can innovate in order to realize the town's strategic intent. Four, they support good bond ratings and thereby reduce the cost of borrowing, as we just saw in our pension bond issuance, PSPRS bond issuance. They promote long-term and strategic thinking. So the strategic intent articulated by many financial policies necessarily demands a long-term perspective from the town. So they provide that that strategic intent for the town. And then they manage risk to financial condition. A key component of governance accountability is not to incur excessive risk in the pursuit of public goals. And so financial policies identify important risks to financial condition. And then they comply with, financial policies comply with established public management best practices. The GFOA, through its officially adopted best practices endorsement of the National Advisory Council on State and Local Budgeting, budget practices, and the GFOA Distinguished Budget Presentation Award Program has recognized that financial policies are an essential part of public financial management. So so this evening, you know, normally I would bring this as a consent item, just as an update, but we've kind of done some rework, some pretty significant updating to the current financial policies. And that's why I really wanted to bring it to you as council for questions, discussion, because these are your policies. They really set the boundaries and set the, they are the foundation really of what we do from a financial perspective. They help the town really establish that long-term perspective of how we want to operate financially. And as my pastor says, we set boundaries in the safe areas to keep us out of the unsafe areas. And so those boundaries are really important that we set those, establish those in safe, in the safe areas of the lanes to keep us out of the unsafe, the ditches and the pitfalls that we could run into. Those boundaries kind of protect us from those areas. So so with that said, I would like to, next slide, I'd like to open it up to any questions with the new policies. I think basically, in a nutshell, what you see with the new policies is just a lot more structure, a lot more granularity. We did add a couple new policies that were not in the existing policies that I thought were just holes. They were gaps. Those policies include internal controls and grants that you typically would see in a full financial policy document. And then obviously we kept those major and significant policy that the council is aware of. We've kept most of those, in fact, all of the major and significant ones that I would consider, we kept those intact. The 10-year CIP, the 5-year operational forecast, the general fund, the 25% general fund reserve, things that you've heard about time and time again through budget presentations and quarterly CIP reporting and monthly financial reports. We've kept all of that intact. So again, just would like to open it up to questions about what is being proposed this evening and would support your approval of the recommended policy document this evening. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. So I want to open this to the public, those that are with us. If you want to speak to this particular topic, this is your opportunity to do so. You would go to the bottom middle of your screen and click on the raised hand icon or *9 on your phone. So if you want to speak to this particular item, this is your opportunity to do so. I'm not seeing any raised hands. We'll go to council questions. Councilmember Bowen.
First off, I wanted to express my appreciation to the staff for the work that you've done. Dave and Mary, I spent several hours going over the new procedures, and I can see how they evolved from what we previously had, and that's thankless and very valuable work. When you put it together and you create the structure that we have, it's much easier to follow. It's much more comprehensive, and I can see the bits and pieces, which I thought I had understood in the past, and they're formalized. So I wanted to thank you for that. There was a list of questions, Dave, and I know that you received it, but I didn't want to belabor all of them. I'd rather just ask a single one, which I think is important because there's been a lot of activity regarding hotels and bed tax, you know, with the Westward Look annexation and perhaps new hotels that might come into town. When we have bed tax, is it part of it restricted, or is really all the bed tax that we receive at the discretion of staff as to how to allocate those funds? That's still a little bit confusing for me. Can you elaborate a little bit?
Certainly. Thank you for the question, and thank you for the kind comments, Councilmember Bowen. They are certainly appreciated. And I just have to give a shout out to our Budget and Finance Commission that labored through this process. It was many, many hours that they spent working through this document, trying to structure it and make it as comprehensive and as robust as possible to strengthen the foundation, the financial foundation of the town. Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Bowen, to answer your question, I appreciate that you did submit those questions in advance. The bed tax specifically, when we talk about bed tax, there is a portion or a piece that would be considered restricted. So you're correct in that. With respect to the fund balance policy specifically and how bed taxes folds into that policy, the amount that would be restricted would only be restricted if we had not spent the required amount per ARS on tourism. So if we carried over monies, if you want to think of it that way, because we failed to satisfy the requirements for ARS and we carried over those tourism, dedicated tourism dollars from one year to the next, then I would fully agree with you that it should be restricted. I think what we've seen, though, is historically that has not been the case, that we have satisfied the statutory requirements for spending our bed tax dollars on tourism. There is no carry forward amount in fund balance with respect to that, and therefore the balance, everything that would be remaining from bed tax collections would be considered unrestricted. I hope that answers your question.
Your microphone is off, Councilmember Bowen.
Dave, I really appreciate that. I just wanted the residents to know that, you know, bed tax is a huge help to us, but also there are some commitments per ARS that we have to make. So it's not 100%, but rather maybe 80% of it is actually of use to the town for, you know, what we need it for. So thank you, Mr. Mayor. That was my final comment.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
Yes. Mr. Gephardt, I'd just like to ask about the PSPRS funding policy that is now included with our financial policies. I had asked, and you had sent to council an update where if we use the PSPRS assumption of 7.3 and compared to the interest rate that we actually received, how much money could we potentially be saving the town by utilizing our current policy that we recently implemented?
So Vice Mayor Barrett, Mayor Mayor, is there a question? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
How much money? Misunderstood. Oh, okay.
Sorry. How much money, if the 7.3% that PSPRS uses, how much money could we potentially be saving the town with our current policy that's in this document?
Yeah, Vice Mayor Barrett, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I don't have that number in front of me. Let me try to bring that up, if you'll just bear with me for a second, because I know I've got it in my Outlook inbox.
Okay.
So I can, thanks. I'll do a quick.
Sorry, I should have been like Council Member Bowen and sent you a list in advance.
Yeah,
I'd like
no
that
worries.
List, Council Member Bowen.
And Wendy, or town manager, if you want to chime in, if you find it faster than I do, then please go ahead. But
you all don't know that Dave is actually on vacation with his family, and it's a little later where he is to wrap up this item for y'all tonight.
Thank you. I might have it open.
Sorry, too many town council reports here. I'm scrolling through them.
I know the feeling.
It's okay. Well, we can... we can circle back. I just wanted to...
I've got it here. Just okay, bear with me for a second. Apologize. So total savings of almost $31.3 million, net present value savings of about $23.2 million.
Okay, thanks. So $31.3 million is the number if we use that PSPRS.
Yeah, okay. I would use the $23 million because that takes into account projected inflation over the 16-year term.
Okay, thank you. And then my other question is, I know you gave us kind of a some outline of the areas that had changed, and I took a look at some of those areas, and I didn't see anything. Is there anything sort of beyond structural, substantive, that's really changed in our financial policies that you could outline for us or that we need to be aware of specifically?
Yeah, I think Vice Mayor, members of the council, I think that's a really good question. I think there were certain policies that we had in our current financial policies that, mm-hmm. that I didn't really view as being a financial policy. I thought that some of the policies that are in there kind of lent themselves more to being a procedure rather than a policy. And so, you know, those types of things, I really considered them to be more minor in scope. It's not that we're necessarily going to change what we do with respect to those items. I think a good example of that would be like bank reconciliations. We are going to, you know, continue to do monthly bank reconciliations and, mm-hmm. and investment account reconciliations. That's just going to be a something that we do as a part of having strong internal controls. I think there are certain, I would say, more minor items that kind of fell out of the policy set. But, you know, again, we brought in, I think, more, hopefully filled some gaps with the internal controls and the grants policy, where we were really silent as a town as to, you know, how we dealt with grants and even, you know, federal grants and awards. I think, you know, the important thing that I'd like to highlight there, that, you know, that's a new policy. One of the things that that I stressed with the Budget and Finance Commission, we set kind of a $15,000 limit for federal grants and awards that we weren't going to necessarily pursue those types of grants and awards because of the strings attached, the administrative requirements, the compliance requirements. We're spending, you know, more than, you know, if we got like a $5,000 grant, we're spending more than $5,000 in administrative staff time. And then that, you know, that grant award was really not, you know, it wasn't, you know, wasn't financially, advantageous to the town. You know, there are certain things that we wanted to include because there were gaps, and I think those inclusions more than offset what dropped off. I think, you know, again, the major things, the major policies that the town had in our current policy structure that have certainly served the town well, we kept all of that meat with what is being proposed for you this evening.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for your work with the Budget and Finance Commission on reviewing all of these and bringing them for us. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Any additional questions? Councilmember Jones, Councilmember Nicholson, and then Councilmember Jones Ivey.
Yeah, what was the recommendation of the Budget and Finance Committee on this? Did we get one at all?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Jones Ivey, the Budget and Finance Commission fully supported what is being proposed for you this evening. It was a unanimous recommendation for Town Council approval.
Okay, thank you very much, David.
Councilmember Nicholson.
I just wanted to say thanks to David Gephardt. I know the commission asked a lot of questions, very tough questions, and you were very well with them. And I just want to thank you and Wendy and Mary Jacobs for going through everything. I appreciate it. And I don't know if I can suggest the motion.
Sure.
Okay. I move to approve resolution number R21-37, adopting revised financial and budgetary policies.
Second.
Vice Mayor seconds. Any discussion? Mr. Gephardt, the PSPRS pension funding policy, because of the bond financing, the paying down the $10 million, is there some changes that need to be made to this policy to reflect those actions, or do you believe the policy, that those actions are reflected in the policy?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, the policy that's folded into the comprehensive set of financial policies before you this evening includes verbatim what the council approved on June 16th. And that policy specifically is reflective of the steps that staff have taken, that council approved with the $27 million payment to PSPRS, which by the way, has been made, was effective, I believe, yesterday or the day before. So PSPRS is now in receipt of those funds. Those bonds have been issued. That process is closed out. So I don't know that there's anything additional, any amendments. Certainly no amendments are necessary at this point in time. As you're all well aware, that policy does need to be updated on an annual basis, and we will take a look at it again in about 9 or 10 months. We'll start that process again.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Standish, can we take a roll call vote, please?
Vice Mayor Barrett?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowen?
We can't hear you, Councilmember Bowen.
Yes.
Thank you. Councilmember Green?
Yes.
Councilmember Jones Ivey?
Yes.
Councilmember Nicholson?
Yes.
Councilmember Solomon?
Yes.
And Mayor Winfield?
Yes. Motion passes 7-0. So we will not be meeting council until next September, and we'll be meeting in the chambers, remodeled chambers. Any future agenda items? I move to adjourn.
I'll second.
Seconded by Councilmember Jones Ivey. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed, nay. Motion passes 7-0. Thank you, staff. Thank you, council. Good night, everyone. Good night.